business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Troll Axe Productions, a movie-making studio right here in town. It's made four movies in Reading. We also welcome Liz Peek, national columnist, who's going to talk about what Obama has done to destroy the military. All of this Monday right here at Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Left or right,
we are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
I am American.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. We're running a little late today just because we are. let's see. Today is Sunday, September 27th, and we're here again in the studio one more time here. And my name is Mark Kent, again, and I'm your host for today, as usual, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. It's KCNR1460.com. You know, or you can call in if you want to at 530-605-4567. We'd like to thank everybody who's in the studio here for showing up. That would be my sister Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda and company.
Good morning. We also have Red Smith with us.
Morning.
And special guest Steve Baird.
Good morning, Jefferson.
Good morning.
Very good. So we're going to have Wayne Allen Root on here, I guess, as our first guest.
Yes, we are.
And so when we get him on, I guess we'll, you know, we're almost ready to go to our first break here, but we'll get him on the line and then maybe come, I don't know, we'll come back from the break or should we just start? You got any veterans events or anything to talk about?
I do, but if we can get him on the line, we've only got him for about 20 minutes, so.
Okay, well, I'll do my quote.
Do your quote.
The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in times of great moral crisis, maintain their neutrality.
I like that.
Dante. Yeah, that was Dante's Inferno, I believe. Yeah, so I think that quote says quite a bit, actually. And those of you who are out there who are trying to maintain your neutrality, I think you might want to rethink your position because, you know, it's like the Karate Kid thing. You know, on this side of fence, okay. On this side of fence, okay. On middle fence, gets squashed like grape. So anyway, we've got Wayne Allen Root coming on, and I'm not sure if we've got him on the phone yet or not.
He's changing phones.
He's changing phones.
So
he's changing phones. So I'm not sure what's going on with Mr. Root lately.
Well, he's talking about whether President Obama is a Muslim or not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm just
no.
saying.
no one would believe that. I mean, no, come on. You know, the fact that he wears a Muslim ring, that he's been, you know, at Muslim parties. He's been seen elbowing with Muslims, releasing prisoners from Gitmo that are terrorists.
Yeah. Celebrating Iranian holidays.
In exchange for traitors. He just released another one at the against the I think it was six State Department security guys. Or I don't have the whole story in front of me, but you know another.
Well, I'm
high
sure Mr. Root
terrorist.
Might have it since we got him on the line. He probably's got some stories he can give us. Good morning, Mr. Root. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing great here.
The fun never stops, Wayne.
Depends which fun you're talking about.
So. Enlighten us. Is Mr. Obama a Muslim, or is he just a poser?
Well, nobody knows. I've never, ever, ever, and I'm probably the biggest attacker in this country, the biggest, boldest attacker, even more so than Donald Trump. And I will tell you, nobody knows if he's a Muslim. It doesn't matter. Let's assume he's a Christian, that I call him the worst Christian in the history of the world. He's a horrible Christian. He's a guy who has enabled Muslims to, or radical Muslims, by the way, to take on terrorism all over the world, to laugh in our face. He's enabled ISIS to grow stronger. He's brought, you know, literally 250,000 Muslim immigrants per year into the United States in the 7 years he's been president, 250,000 a year, which can lead to no good. He's now suggesting we bring in another few hundred thousand of Syrian Muslims. It's a disaster. So whether he's a Muslim or a Christian doesn't matter. He's the most damaging president in the history of the White House. He's done terrible things to America. He has not stood up against a war on Christianity all around the world. If anything, he's helped to be part of the war on Christianity all over the world. He's certainly enabled it. And in the United States, he's done tremendous damage by bringing in Muslims and leaving the border open, which could easily mean that there are tons of terrorist cells walking around the United States as we speak right now. So I keep answering, who cares if he's a Muslim? He's certainly the greatest Muslim sympathizer and enabler we've ever seen in the White House, and he's certainly the worst kind of Christian we've ever seen.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, at some point in time, it really doesn't matter what label you put on him, because the real deal is his actions speak louder than any label that we could put on him.
And don't forget, the media wants to cover this up, but I mean, it's a fact. He spent 20 years at the church of Reverend Jeremiah Wright, and they just wave that off and go, who cares? Really? So if I hung out in a church where all they did was preach hate for America and hate for black people, that would be okay? He hung out in a church where they preached hate for white people, hate for Israel, hate for Jews, blind hatred for the United States of America. That would make him, in my opinion, if he is in fact a Christian, that would make him a wacko, extreme, crazy, radical, cult-like Christian, not a Christian. So why doesn't everybody just say that? I mean, in other words, if you get in trouble for calling him a Muslim, then we should all just say, no problem, he's a cult-like, weird, wacko, bizarre, radical Christian. That's what we should all say. I'm just always trying to come up with ways to explain Obama that the media will accept, you know? And so you can't call him a communist, so I guess you just have to call him an ignorant idiot, because nobody could destroy America the way he has unless, A, you're a purposeful communist, socialist, Marxist out to destroy America on purpose, or, B, you're an ignorant moron who doesn't know what he's doing. And so the media won't accept communists. So I just say, no problem, I'll go with your theory. He's an ignorant moron.
Well, you know, it what's so sad is that, you know, the media watchdogs are so complicit in this cover-up or disinformation or lack of reporting, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, they're supposed to be the watchdog protecting us with giving us information, and that's partly the reason why our country is so screwed up, is because if people are listening to the mainstream media, you know, their premises are all incorrect typically because they're getting bad information.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's a guy named Kevin Trudeau. Do you know, recognize that name?
Absolutely.
Famous commercial star?
Yeah, Popey. He was the guy that sold a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. He's actually in jail for 10 years for fraud. The government persecuted him and put him in jail for 10 years. And he wound up there, and the claim was that people bought a book for $8 each or something like that, and that was some sort of crime because he literally gave them misinformation somehow. And I sit back and I laugh. Because, you know, Barack Obama told everybody, number one, he promised that if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. He promised that it would prices would go down. As a matter of fact, we have an exact quote from Barack Obama that during his presidency, the average family health insurance plan would go down by $2,500 per year. Mm-hmm. It went up by $5,000 per year, to be exact, $4,800. So down $2,500, reality up almost $5,000. And promise you'd keep your health care, you couldn't. Promise you'd keep your doctor, you couldn't. Promise that Obamacare would create 4 million jobs, and in reality, it cost 2.5 million jobs. Ask the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, they'll tell you. So that's off by 6.5 million in the wrong direction. He lied about everything. He also said that, by the way, Obamacare would reduce the deficit, and it's, of course, over the next 10 years, it will balloon the debt of the United States beyond anyone's recognition. It's bankrupting states. It's bankrupting Obamacare exchanges in Vermont and Hawaii, two ultra-liberal small states. If they go bankrupt, then the rest of us are all doomed. He lied about everything, and this guy, Kevin Trudeau, sold an $8 book, and the government calls that fraud and puts him in jail for 10 years. And every person that bought the $8 book watched his show, and of their own free will, they gave their credit card. After watching an 800 number on TV, they called the number, they gave their credit card. How's that fraud? He didn't put a gun to anyone's head. Barack Obama committed fraud and put a gun to all of our heads because government doesn't offer you a choice of whether you want to opt in or not, whether you want to give your credit card or not. Government demands and mandates and passes laws, and it was all based on fraud. How is Barack Obama not in prison for life? He's far worse than Bernie Madoff. He's far worse than Kevin Trudeau. He should be in prison for the rest of his life for the fraud he has committed upon the American people.
Well, I am totally agree with you on that. I mean, he's told so many lies, we can't even remember them all. But the fact is that why is he being supported up there at all? I mean, we've got little Johnny Boehner quitting because, you know, basically the Republicans have been supporting the Democrats' platform for whatever reason at the establishment Republicans. And now we've got kind of revolt, for lack of a better term, up there in the House. But why isn't somebody, you know, why haven't they impeached him? Why haven't, you know, I think the Senate could actually arrest him with the Sergeant of Arms. But they do nothing. I mean,
I think they're all scared of a bunch of things. Number one, they're scared of being called radical. Number two, they're scared of being called out of control. Number three, they're scared of being called racist. Number four, I think, is the big one. I think a lot of them are either bribed or blackmailed. I think that goes on every day. I think John Boehner has clearly been blackmailed. There's no question that John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, guys like that, campaign as if they're huge conservatives and they say all the same things as me until they get elected and they govern the exact opposite way and let Obama have everything he wants despite some initial protestations that make them look like they're opponents of Obama. They give him everything, and it can only make you believe they're all being blackmailed or bribed. And so I think that's probably happening. And then number four is another big one. I think that the problem is they themselves are scared of being sent to jail because they've committed crimes. So it's, you know, wink, wink, wink at Obama. We'll never send you to jail if you don't send us to jail. But as soon as we start threatening to prosecute Obama, then a lot of Republicans will be sent to jail when the Democrats get in power. So they don't want to set any precedent. They don't want anyone going to jail. And that way everyone can believe whatever they want and do whatever they want, rip the American people off and rape the American people and not be sent to jail because they don't want to wind up being a victim themselves. I think all of that plays into it.
Well, you know, and it kind of makes me think of Hillary at this point because, you know, Obama's been kind of sicking the dogs on Hillary a little bit here based on, you know, them pulling the information out, the FBI investigation. I even saw a quote the other day that, you know, she was mad to tell him to get his effing dogs off her. But I don't know how accurate that was, but I saw it. But, you know, we know for a fact that a lot of this is coming out of the White House that's going after her. How do you explain that?
How do I explain that Hillary? Do you say that Hillary's not in jail?
Yeah. How do you explain that Obama is going kind of letting it happen a little bit here?
I can explain that. Obama hates Hillary. The Clintons hate the Obamas, and the Obamas hate the Hillarys. You know, all my books have been published by Regnery Publishing. I've had three straight national bestsellers, and the most recent one, by the way, we've been lax. We haven't even said it. The Power of Relentless is out right now, and it's the number one best-selling business book in the United States of America for the month of August. So we just got our numbers in for August. Number one business book in the country, The Power of Relentless, and the perfect book, by the way, to give as a gift to any politician in your life, because even though I called it a business book, it's the attitude that Republicans are missing. Barack Obama is a relentless socialist out to destroy America, and he's doing a great job of it. Mm. And we are not relentless in supporting our conservative causes. and our conservative principles and the United States Constitution and Judeo-Christian values and all the above. The one thing missing is relentless. We are not relentless. And if your attitude is relentless, you can have anything that you want in life. And I've made it all come true in the greatest country in world history, America. You know, I went from broke to a multimillionaire by the age of 30 in this great country, living in a house on the beach in Malibu with the waves lapping at my front door. I mean, it's just amazing what you can accomplish in America if you are relentless and you never give up and you aim high and you aim for success and you refuse to accept anything less. That's what this book's about. Republicans need to read it, The Power of Relentless. But Obama is not a fan of the Clintons, and the Clintons are not fans of the Obamas. And I think all of this drip, drip, drip is being let out on purpose by Obama. It wouldn't happen if he didn't want it to. It's his Justice Department that's leaking all this information and going after Hillary. And I believe that Hillary's done. I've said this for months already. I predicted this before anyone else in the country, that Joe Biden would be the nominee of the Democratic Party. But it won't be Hillary. I'm not, you know, I can't be sure it's Biden because he hasn't even gotten in yet. But I think it's going to be Biden, and I think he's going to get in. But Hillary will not be the nominee. And I've said this for a year, even when she was up 65 points, the most in polls in the history of polling. I said, it doesn't matter. She doesn't have an opponent yet, and she won't ever get the nomination because she's got too many scandals. She can't be the nominee. So I think she's done, and I think Obama will make sure she's done. And I would be willing to bet you Biden will be in the race, and I'd be willing to bet you he'll name Elizabeth Warren as his vice president for the first day. And all of that is a con game initiated with a deal with Obama, who made him promise that he would run so he could defeat Hillary, and he would carry out Obama's plans and never badmouth Obama and be his biggest, fiercest defender once he's in office and always defend everything Obama did. And Elizabeth Warren would as well as VP, and then at the end of one term, he'll resign. Biden will resign, and Elizabeth Warren will be the presidential candidate, and that's the deal, cozy deal I believe they've all cut, because all three of them hate Hillary's guts. Biden, Obama, and Elizabeth Warren all hate Hillary's guts, and they've decided to go after her, and this is how they do it.
Wow, you know, I mean, it's funny that I don't think they can actually win at this point. You know, there's too much rising tide unless it's fixed. You know, I mean, there's too much rising tide in the conservative arena for one of our guys not to, well, one of our guys, one of the guys that are running on the ticket. And I think that this explains all of why Trump is doing so well. I mean, everybody's pretty much had enough, I'm assuming.
Right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, Trump is no conservative. I'm a big fan of his. I'm on his side. I don't know if you'd say I'm on his team. I'm not officially being paid. I'm not on his team, but I'm definitely on his side. I've been rooting for him since before he even announced. I'm the first guy in the country who kept urging him to get into it and saying he'd be a front runner. So, I mean, I'm a Trump guy. And even I'll admit that, A, he's far from perfect. B, he says a lot of offensive things that bother me. And C, he's not a conservative. I don't know if he's a conservative. All I know is he's a guy that's a fighter. He's combative. He's an attacker. He might actually put some people in jail when he gets to Washington, and he's going to blow up the whole system. It's not going to be business as usual. He's going to go to Washington and turn it upside down. And all of those things are more important to me than just being a conservative. As a matter of fact, just being a conservative probably won't get you elected. Ted Cruz is probably a pretty close to perfect conservative, but he's nowhere in the polls and never has been anywhere in the polls. I've never felt Ted Cruz was ever a threat to win the nomination. So just pure conservative values don't win you anything. You need someone who's combative and willing to fight back viciously, just like the Democrats fight viciously. And that's why the media hates Trump so much, because they're scared of what he'll do if he gets elected. And they're also scared he's the only candidate that will hit back viciously. You know, they're allowed to hit us and hit us and hit us and hit us again. It's like the police show up at your house and they allow a woman to hit a man 50 times. But if the man hits the woman once, he goes to prison. And so that's what this would be like if that ever happened. You know, if you were standing by, you'd allow one person to hit their spouse, but the other one couldn't hit back. Republicans aren't allowed to hit Democrats. Democrats are allowed to kick us in the balls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if we ever answer back, we're terrible people. Well, Donald Trump's the first guy. He may not be a conservative, but he's the first guy to realize I'm going to kick them in the balls back and screw the media. I don't care what they say. I love that. And I don't even care if he's a conservative. If he just keeps kicking them in the balls, mark this down, quote me, Wainwright says if Donald Trump just keeps kicking liberals in the balls, Wayne's happy.
I'm gonna use that quote in my quote of the day.
I'm happy. Kick Obama in the balls, and you're my man. That's all I care about. I don't care if you're a pure conservative, because we're not going to get a pure conservative anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Do you know what
let's just get someone who puts people in jail.
Do you know what we need, Wayne, is we need a pure American, and I think that's what Donald Trump is.
Well, that's Donald Trump. Yeah, that's Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I think,
but, you know, there's some things about him I could criticize, but in general, that's definitely a good definition of Donald Trump, a pure American.
Yeah, regardless of which side of the aisle he might, because I mean, I'm a libertarian. I mean, I think that there's some things on good on both sides of the aisle. I mean, obviously, I think the Democrats are, I loathe the Democrats because most of their platforms are destructive and divisive and evil. If, I mean, look at the Planned Parenthood thing. I mean, how much more evil can you get? You're selling body parts. You're selling babies' body parts, and they come across like it's a war on women. I mean, there's some twisted crap going on up there in the minds of some of these people and the people that support it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, abortion has never been a big issue for me one way or the other. It just, you know, I'm an economic guy and I talk money and I talk economics and I talk business and I talk taxes and I talk debt and I talk spending. That's what I'm good at. And I try to know what I know and know what I don't know. And I've really never gotten into gay marriage and abortion, and social issues have never been my thing. I'm pretty libertarian. So in general, even if I don't care for those things, I don't want to stop you necessarily from doing them. It's none of my business. It's between you and your doctor or you and God or you and, you know, when it comes to gay marriage, you and the person you're marrying, it's none of my business. You and your church, I should say. Let the church marry them, not the government. But having said that, nothing really gets me madder than this whole Planned Parenthood issue, because even if I'm not, you know, Mr. Anti-Abortion as my number one thing I'm known for, it's a disgusting, disgusting thing, abortion. I guess I sound like Donald Trump now. Donald says things like that. It's a disgusting, disgusting thing. And the idea that you would fund it with government money that comes from taxpayers who are against abortion, and you would allow them to give money to Planned Parenthood while they are literally dismembering babies, sucking the life out of them, and then reselling their organs, or I should say selling their organs, you know, it's just a disgusting thing. It's horrible. And I think that I still don't think Planned Parenthood should be defunded. I think all vestiges of money for abortions at Planned Parenthood should be defunded. In other words, I don't think you'll ever be able to defund Planned Parenthood, because women across America are just too pro-Planned Parenthood and what it does for women's health, supposedly. But you certainly can defund every dime that goes to them that's involved in any way or touches in any way abortion. And that's got to be done. And, of course, if it's such a big deal, then let some rich billionaire Democrat make up the difference. You know, you're not talking about that much money. You know, it's a couple hundred million dollars a year probably for the abortion end of it. And so it should be done today. It should be ended today. And let some rich Democrat, like Tom Steyer, is that the guy who's the big environmentalist? Let him put up the $200 million. He's worth billions and billions of dollars. Let him commit to a yearly $200 million thing if he wants abortion so badly. But no government money should ever touch it.
Well, I think what Carson said was really appropriate. Well, let that all go to Obamacare. I mean, they want all this care for women and everything, and that's what Obamacare was supposed to do. Why do we need Planned Parenthood at all if Obamacare took care of everything it was supposed to take care of?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, my argument would be, I don't really like that argument because I don't want the money to go to Obamacare because I don't want there to be Obamacare. You got to get rid of it. So I don't know if that's the right answer, but I get where Ben was going with that. By the way, I think it's interesting that, you know, every liberal I know thought Ben Carson's career was over, just like they thought Donald Trump's career was over when he, you know, wouldn't rush to defend Obama not being a Muslim. And then they thought Ben Carson's career was over when Ben Carson said that a Muslim can't be president. And sure enough, Trump's lead is still fine, and sure enough, Ben Carson is surging. And isn't that interesting? The media is so far off with what the America people understand and believe and stand for. They just don't have a clue. I knew the minute Ben Carson attacked Muslims, he'd go up in the polls, because that's how most people think. That's how everyone I know talks at the water cooler. We're not defending Muslims all day long. There's no reason to defend Muslims. We don't defend Barack Obama's religion as being a Christian all day long. Why would we do that? Let Barack Obama defend his religion. The reality is everything he's done convinces you that he's not a Christian, whether he is or not. I'm just saying everything he does convinces you he's not. So why would I defend him as one? And as far as Muslims, every single terrorist act in this world for the last 30 years has been the result of Muslims, and I'm supposed to stand around defending them all day? Only the liberal, pathetic media thinks like that. It's amazing. What? And so the first candidates to actually not genuflect, apologize, and retreat all day long are Ben Carson and Donald Trump. And you know what? Everyone seems to like them.
You know,
what a surprise.
Do you know what I think, Wayne? I think that they have been controlling the narrative for so long that now that they're starting to lose control of the narrative, it's almost shocking to them because, you know, 10 years ago, you every place you got your media from was the mainstream media that was controlling the narrative. And now everybody's getting their information from alternative sources because they've, at least most of the people, the thinking people, the people that have brains have realized that they've been lied to by across the board by all the media, including Fox, in one way or another. They're twisting and bending the narrative, and it's not working as much as it did, and I think it's their power is waning and going to fade away as time goes
by. Well, they can't control Trump.
Well,
they have nothing to do with it. They can't stop him like they did the other people.
Well, and the people aren't buying it anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's why
that's
Trump
true,
has got
yeah.
the support, and that's yeah. why, you know, Carson has got the support. It's the support from the people, because the media, if it was up to them, would squash them like bugs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, that's what's happening. Clearly, that's what's happening. The third one you could throw in is Carly Fiorina to some extent, at least after that debate. She did do a great job in that debate. I've read some things that worry me about her background and some of the things she used to believe in.
From California.
Whether she does or not, I'd like to hear what she has to say. But she does not have a great background, but she says the right things in the debate. Now, does that make her a fraud, or does that make her someone who's changed her mind on those things? I don't know. I think she's, again, a little bit too apologetic on the issue of Muslims. I think she was one of the ones who apologized over Ben's remarks and over Trump not defending Obama. I believe she came in on the wrong side of both of those. If that's the case, that'll be the end of her surge in the polls. But I'm not quite sure. You know, all of us get busy, and I'm busy. I'm too busy doing 20 interviews a day some days to actually see what everybody actually says. So you can't tell whether someone is who they say they are. I've seen very little of Carly Fiorina in my life, seen and heard little of her other than her debate performance, which was fantastic. I thought she was great in that debate, but never thought much of her before the debate and haven't heard much from her since it. So I just don't know. But I know she's the third outsider, and Carson, her, and Trump are all leading in the polls, and that's because people want an outsider. So far, so good. I agree with the idea of getting an insider in there, an outsider in there into the White House, much better than having an insider in the White House. Someone who doesn't spend their life in politics, I would support over someone who has spent their life in politics.
I gotta agree, you know, and then, you know, the banking cartel in conjunction with the government is the problem, I mean, in my opinion, and, you know, until we break that up, and you know, get them out of control of the money supply, and you know, gosh, look at zero interest rates and everything that the banking's been doing. I mean, and the head fake with the interest rate, it's like, hey, we're never going to have any interest rates go up. They're gonna have negative interest rates, and we're gonna be QE till infinity and beyond, is what I think.
Yeah, well, all I could say is that everything the Fed does is fraud. Everybody thinks there are jobs. There aren't. There are only part-time jobs. There are only jobs for illegal immigrants to clean toilets and wash dishes and mow your lawn. Those are the only jobs in America for the last 10 years. And I've been saying that again and again and again just based on gut instinct. And sure enough, the stat came out. There have been 1 million new women's jobs created since the year 2007 in America. All 1 million went to foreigners, which means illegals. This entire economy is based on illegals, yet we hear from the Fed and we hear from the government's economic statistics, Labor Department, that everything's fine, there's lots of jobs. So there's, you know, the first lie you get from the government and the Fed. And then the second one is that there's no inflation. My God, there's no inflation. You know, my salary is way up. My income, I should say, is way up the last few years. I'm doing fantastic, and yet I'm broke at the end of the year. Why? Because all my bills are up far more than my income. You know, no matter what you buy at the grocery store, it's double and triple what it was when Obama became president. My electric bills are double and triple when Obama became president. My health insurance bills are absolutely triple what they were when Obama became president. I think actually more than that. And my college bills, my daughter just graduated Harvard University, great thing, but I got stuck with a $250,000 bill that's not tax deductible. And so I'll be paying that off for the rest of my life. And then I got three more kids on the way who are all going to go to a good school and hopefully Harvard. And so I'll have $1 million in bills, non-tax deductible, which means $2 million basically after taxes is what I have to spend on my kids to go to college. And you're telling me there's no inflation, whereas, you know, when I went to school, when my parents went to school, college cost almost nothing. So this is all nonsense. The inflation is raging. There are no jobs. And the GDP is horrible, and yet the government and the media tell you that the economy is fine.
Do you know how I measure inflation, Wayne? In pancakes. When I go to the, you know, I used to go buy pancakes, and yesterday I went and I bought pancakes because we had a tile in our kitchen and we're trying to, you know, fix the house a little bit. And so I took the kids and we buy two full stack pancakes and two coffees was $25. I'm talking six pancakes and two cups of coffee was $25. Now, 15 years ago, the whole meal would have been like $7. So I think we're almost at the point where we're about ready to, it's tripled within 10 years on the food.
Yeah, well, no question. Listen, just in the last week, I've seen that butter is at an all-time high, eggs are at an all-time high, meat's at an all-time high, and chicken's at an all-time high. All of those four in the last week I've seen in the media printed, and then the same media looks you in the face and tells you there's no inflation. So it's just hilarious. You know, I go to the store and you put like, you know, 12 things in your grocery cart, and you walk up to the cash register and it's $130, and you go, how is that possible? There's no inflation? They're all lying to us. And, you know, the key is inflation index, which is what the government measures inflation on. All the things that matter for a middle-class family, or any family for that matter, have been taken out of the index.
Hedonics.
So food doesn't count, groceries don't count, energy doesn't count, health insurance doesn't count, your college bills don't count. You know, it's just everything that matters in your budget isn't in the index that measures inflation. So, of course, they say there's no inflation. The only place that proves there's no inflation is jobs. No one's salary is up. Salaries are way, 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 way down for the average middle-class person. And so that's what they use to describe the fact that there's no inflation. But the reality is your income isn't up and your bills are way up. The inflation is in the bills, not the income. That's the worst possible of both worlds, you know, disaster out there. And I'm someone who's done really well in business, so my income is up. You know, I'm actually at the highest I've ever been the last 5 years, and I'm still at the end of each year, nothing's left because the bills are so high. So when I think about people whose income is not up and they've got to pay the same bills as me, disaster and impossible. You just can't afford it.
Yeah, at some point in time, there's going to be an awakening, you know, in people's minds that this is not going to be sustainable because you can't keep creating digits and paper money or however you want to do it with zero interest rates and have no inflation effect. I mean, we're headed right back to 1929 Germany when the mark collapsed. And I just, you know, you can't explain it to people. I was telling my son yesterday, at some point in time, your brain kicks in that when more and more of your money is going towards food and you're starting to tail off on all your other activities, and pretty soon food is, you know, you have a choice between food and paying the rent, then we're going to have a collective awakening, and there's a problem.
Yeah, well, is there ever going to be a collective awakening? I don't know. I've gotten past the point of believing there's going to be a collective awakening. I think the nation is sheeple. The people have been dumbed down by public schools, years and years of communist, socialist, and Marxist teachers and educators in our public schools and our colleges. There is no such thing. It's only a rumor that a Republican has ever been seen on the staff of any college in America, outside of a few Christian universities, and even those are mostly liberal. Fox News, I don't think people understand. That's supposed to be the right-wing news organization. Fox News, they did a poll of the people that work at Fox News, and not just the, you know, the front people like Sean Hannity, but I mean his producers, his directors, I don't even know. Maybe they even included cameramen. I don't know. But the staff in general, it was like 80% Democrat, registered Democrat, at Fox News.
Wow.
So you think you're getting a fair deal from Fox News? Everybody, liberals think they watch Fox News a liberal, and because it's not completely propaganda for the left, they say it's biased. But the reality is it's in the middle, leaning a little bit to the right sometimes, and they call that, you know, biased. And meanwhile, all the rest of the media is completely left propaganda. So, you know, look, we've got a bit of a banana republic going on. This country is not what it once was. The media is at fault. They won't tell the truth. They won't report the truth. They won't allow you to understand what's really happening. And they paint a distorted picture, and all of this, you know, media, educators, and politicians have combined in a terrible threesome, a triple crown of death. If you're going to be lied to by everyone in power, then you just don't understand what's up, what's down, the earth is flat, the earth is round. You just don't believe the truth anymore.
You know,
so this is like the Catholic Church when they said that the earth was flat, you know? And so all those years ago, they were ready to burn you at the stake if you said something other than what they believed was the truth. And I think we've got a situation like that today, even with the Pope, by the way. You know, I've been a guy who's defended religion my whole life, defended the Pope my whole life, and now I watch a Pope who is just completely brainwashed. He's Barack Obama in a white robe. That's all he is. Yep. He just walks around telling you climate change is the biggest threat in the world. He doesn't know a damn thing about it. He's not a scientist, last I checked. They'll tell you that income redistribution is great. Really? Weren't you raised in Argentina, buddy? The Pope was raised in a socialist country led by Juan Perón, a socialist, who believes in income redistribution. And the result of that, while the Pope was growing up in that country, is they went from 19th in the world in GDP per capita to 63rd in the world GDP per capita. Argentina is an economic basket case, a wasteland, and all of it happened because of the very things that the Pope is now preaching. To follow his own people into the water and drown yourself. Like follow as a sheep off a cliff. Popes know nothing about economics or climate change, and they ought to stay out of those topics. If they want to preach on morality, I have no problem with that. I don't have to agree with them, but they have a right to preach religion, spirituality, morality, and God. They should stay away from economics and climate change. And this Pope is nothing more than Barack Obama in a white dress.
You know,
he is.
It makes you wonder if the staff at Fox is 90 or it's 60, 80, whatever you said.
80%
Democrat. What are they over at MSLSD and MSNBC? I mean, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Same thing they are where I went to college at Columbia University, where Obama was my classmate. Right? I mean, we went to college there. The staff's 100% Democrat. And before anyone says, oh, you're just guessing, Wayne, all these things, I guess, that always just happen to be, you know, true when you come out with a study. And the study came out last year, and at Ivy League universities, it's, I think it was 96% of the professors are registered Democrat. Don't let that fool you that the other four are Republican. The other four are independent. They just don't register as Republican or Democrat, but they're just as bad. They're just trying to fool you. Maybe they want to actually say, you know, I'm a registered independent. You can't call me a liberal.
See,
so that's a scam, too.
See,
but nobody's registered Republican. There are no Republicans on staff at Ivy League schools. So the brightest kids in America are being brainwashed on a daily basis by people who are to the left of left, left, left. They're not liberals, by the way. I went there. I met these kids. I met these professors. They are communists, socialists, and Marxists. That's what they are, and that's what's teaching your kids at the best institutions in America.
I'm thinking Satanist. You know, I have pictures of them sacrificing small animals in the back room at MSNBC. Because, I mean,
they certainly would sacrifice Republicans at the altar of the devil. Let's put it that way. But all right. So, guys, I got to run. I'm off with my kids for a busy morning. And I hope it's okay with you if we say arrivederci.
Hey, thanks a lot
thank
for being
you
on,
so
Wayne.
Much for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Make sure everybody knows my book again is The Power of Relentless, number one business book, ranked the number one business book in America in the last month. And I really think it's not a business book. It's a business, political, life book. Anything in life you want to do, you want to be a winner at, you learn The Power of Relentless from me, Wayne Allyn Root, and I guarantee you, life will be a lot better tomorrow. So go to Amazon.com or go to any fine bookstore and ask for The Power of Relentless by Wayne Allyn Root, or go to my website and get all my free commentaries, watch all my free videos about my political views, RootForAmerica.com.
All right.
Thanks,
Wayne.
Thank you. Have a great day.
I got one more thing to say before we go to the break. This song is not for Wayne. This song is for little Johnny Boehner. And with that,
we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Now, baby, listen, baby, don't you treat me this away. Cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Well,
don't you come back no more.
What you said?
Don't you come back no more.
I didn't understand
you.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from Beer Braised Chicken, Spicy Italian Sausage, to Seared Wild Mushrooms. Try their Smoked Steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Wellgate Sports Club, Reading's premier lifestyle center, is celebrating its grand reopening and has a gift for you. Take advantage of exclusive grand reopening membership rates with zero enrollment fees. That's right, zero enrollment fees. Are you looking to add family to your membership? That's great. We have a gift for you, too. Special rates and incentives will allow your entire family to quit the gym and join the club. At Wellgate Sports Club, you'll experience upscale high-end amenities and programs, complimentary lifestyle education workshops, member social events, and passionate professionals who work one-on-one with you to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Wellgate Sports Club features Reading's exclusive indoor saltwater pool, the Mind and Body Studio featuring Pilates and yoga, as well as the group exercise studio featuring Zumba, cycling, and more. Offer expires September 30th, so don't wait. Come celebrate the grand reopening of Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way, Reading. Call 638-4829 today for your personal tour. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
From simple line-drawn cartoons to 3D modeling used in today's movies, explore the entertaining worlds of animation at Get Animated, only at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Do you love Steamboat Willie or Toothless the Dragon? Learn the stories behind some of your favorite animated characters. Take a photo with Ho the Panda, or try your hand at animation techniques used by Disney, DreamWorks, Sony, and more. Get Animated is presented by Reading Kia Subaru. Visit turtlebay.org for park hours and information. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our community for a great summer season and invite everyone to come enjoy our newly expanded fall beer selection. Bake and bake pizzas, daily deli specials under $5, and fresh made breakfast every day. Our family has been part of Shasta County since the 1930s, and we're proud to advertise our local business on local radio. Come shop with your friends and neighbors at Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Keep the truth coming.
Yeah, that's Muse, in case anybody wants to figure out where to get that track. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. That's called Uprising. Interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Uprising is coming.
Full-fledged. That's why I kind of disagree with Wayne, you know. I mean,
a little bit.
I do. I think that, yeah, we got a bunch of dumb guys out there. There's 30% that will vote. I mean, 30% will vote for a convicted felon who's in prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if we could get if we get Hillary on the ticket in 16, maybe that's the, you know, hey, how would that be?
Yeah, well, that's in California with Leland Yee. You know, you can go to prison for trafficking firearms and military munitions to terrorists and still get 300,000 votes.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
And the problem being?
Yeah, there you have it. All right, so we have in the studio with us Steve Baird, and he is running for District 1. What's the actual title? Senator?
State Senator.
State Senator. Yeah, you know, they all kind of blend together for me after a while, you know, in California because, you know, it's been so bad. I mean, you know, we got Ted Gaines and, you know, the saying, no pain, no gain. there you have it. So how are you doing this morning, Steve?
Very well. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Well, where should we get started? I know Red here had you on for the last hour before we got on here, and I don't know what all you covered because I was running in and out of, you know, the kitchen with no tile and trying
to
figure out something.
Well, we kind of went a little bit over the background of Steve and why he's running and some things like that. We had some questions coming in on other things, you know, some of the hot button issues, things like that. But maybe just give us a real brief recap again of who you are and why you're running. Just the short and sweet for people that are just getting up and tuning in.
Okay, the 30-second version, lifelong Californian, sixth generation, and got a BS in computer science, a master's in financial management, and I've been working in the county of Sacramento for almost 25 years in the IT arena.
But we don't hold that against you.
So when you say BS, I mean, I got a BS in BS.
It's about the truth.
I didn't believe they call it a Bachelor of Science.
Thank you, sir. So with that said, what do you think is the most important issue in the state of California, specifically Northern California, right now that needs to be dealt with?
It's the reason I'm running. It's a total lack of representation for the north end of the state. Six representatives cannot battle the 114 below in the bottom two-thirds of the state. And that's what this campaign is all about, is bringing representation home to the first district and all of what we consider the Jefferson counties. Without that representation, nothing will change. The status quo, I know that our opposition that's seeking to thwart our efforts says that we can work with our legislators, and it's not worked for 50 years, and we're not willing to wait another 50 to see what will happen.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually working with them. I think they're amongst them. Working as a team as opposed to countering maybe their liberal or left-wing agendas or, you know, issues.
They're not working for the people, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah. So what do you think the chances of getting the state of Jefferson are? I mean, what do you think about that?
My wife and I are all in. We believe that there are no other options available to us currently. And if this doesn't happen, then slide back up into Idaho or another one of those a little bit more friendly states. In fact, if you compare Idaho to the Jefferson counties, they almost have identical populations, and it's proof positive that there is enough economic engine, and I know Red's talked about it before. We're running on 28%, so we're running on one cylinder of four, and we can actually kick the others into gear and really make this a prosperous state.
Well, you know, you always hear from all the detractors and the people, you know, about, well, it's too hard, it's too this, it's too that. You know, all the finances aren't going to work. Have they actually come up with any legitimate reason why it wouldn't work?
There are no legitimate reasons. It's pretty much the fear-based economy that they're running off of. The arguments are, well, we'll get all the money from the state. No, that's our money. We give it to the state, and they give us a very small portion of it back to operate on the local level. So what, you know, the Jefferson model is going to be quite different. The majority of the money will be pushed to the counties so governments can run locally, and the state is pretty much going to be an advisory role. The expertise will be there. If you require it, you can ask for it. Otherwise, local government knows how to operate best, and that's where it should be, with the people.
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, you know, that's how the founders kind of looked at our government as a, you know, from the bottom up was where the control should have been, not from the top down.
Yeah, and for example, take one of the Jefferson counties, Lassen County. I believe they stated they see back about 18 cents on the dollar for what they collect for property tax. Do you think Lassen County could do something with that extra 82 cents on the dollar?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, gosh, I mean, it's kind of almost sounds like Washington. Only I think it's worse there. You know, whatever they take all you, they take all the taxes, and then they print some more money to make up for that, and then you owe that money on the interest on the money that they created out of thin air, and so it's just a mess. But I'm not going to go into that one, I promise. But you know, so. How are you and Ted different? I mean, what's you know, I hate to attack Ted, but, yeah, let's do.
I don't.
I'm just, yeah, because the real deal is, what has he gotten done? What are the issues as far as you're concerned with Ted? I mean, he hasn't been a good senator. He's not doing his job?
Well, he votes in the appropriate manner. It doesn't take much to press no, 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 because of a number of things that are going through the state Senate. But his outlook on how he views his employers, and I want to make that quite clear, he has 1 million employers, and he does not do what they say. So when the real critical votes come up, he'll do these flips. And why did he do that? Well, he's obviously sold something for somebody, and it's not really what his employers want. He's not representing in the appropriate manner, and I think that is something that we can really make change. What we're doing with our campaign is electronically getting the voice of the people registered. And so when the major votes come up, we want the input from the employers, who will be my employers, to tell me the way that I should go. It should not be my opinion. I should be the conduit for them.
Well, do you think Gaines and LaMalfa are spending time in Vegas together on the weekends?
I have no idea what they find for enjoyment.
The reason I say that is, what you just said about Gaines almost sounds exactly like LaMalfa. He doesn't listen to his constituents. He does everything that against. I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here as much as I. It just seems like this is a trend with these guys that they really don't care what we have to say at the bottom.
Do before they get elected.
I mean, LaMalfa, I don't know.
A good speech before they get elected.
Yeah, you're my friend. Yeah. Look at my eyes, and you know,
yeah,
remember
exactly.
The Ka, remember Ka in the Jungle Book.
Yeah, but, trust in me.
Steam.
Yeah, exactly.
You saw that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I just feel like it's like now. I mean, LaMalfa won't even. He doesn't even want to know what your opinion is. He'll let you know what his opinion is after the votes. I mean, it's like, what? You know, that's the guy that works for us.
Well, that ties right in with Gaines on some of the things that we've done, and you know, have called and contacted his offices of the press to ask their opinion on things. No comment. No comment. No response. No comment. No response.
He doesn't.
That's what we get.
What you're saying is, he really doesn't give a crap about his constituents' input, unless you're
not
down south farther or something.
Well, he did make a statement that he was very interested in representing all occupants of California, including those who are not residents of the state. And when we're looking at...
What?
Yes. We're looking at apportioning representation. That means that Southern California is actually getting even more representatives than they deserve.
Well, I heard something, now that you mentioned that, about he thought that illegal aliens, you know, it was okay making up the districts so that they have the more congressmen in the higher population centers. He was good with that?
Well, we're not, and I think this is something we definitely need to change. With a state like Jefferson, where we have even representation across the counties, one per, that we can bring back the old model of government where the majority cannot dominate the minority.
Well, that's, you know, as some people have said before, true democracy is just two wolves and a sheep arguing over what's for dinner.
Well, you know, I heard something that I think is very enlightening on Levin the other day. You know, we're not trying to get back to the old government. We're trying to get back to the new government. And let me explain that. The government that we're drifting into now, the so-called new government, has been around forever. It's called totalitarianism, tyranny, government control of everything. You know, that was the model for thousands and thousands of years. It wasn't until the founding fathers, you know, did this grand experiment that we had a government for the people. So we're trying to get back to that government.
Absolutely.
Not move to the old slave
system. And with that, they're going to cut us off at the top of the hour. Stay with us. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567.
And we're here with Steve Baird.
This is for Hillary.
Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame with the rain down my life.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Outgoing House Speaker John Boehner says there will be no government shutdown over Planned Parenthood funding or anything else. And the Ohio Republican says he has things to do before he leaves next month.
I expect that we might have a little more cooperation from some around town to try to get as much finished as possible. I don't want to leave my successor a dirty barn. So I want to clean the barn up a little bit before the next person gets there.
Boehner, a guest on CBS TV's Face the Nation program. Pope Francis is decrying a world in which people treat matters of faith and relationships as if they were products in a supermarket. He's also lamenting the legalization of same-sex marriage in this country, but has urged U.S. bishops to redirect their energies away from complaining. The Pope spoke to 300 bishops this morning after meeting with five victims of sexual abuse and renewing a pledge to, quote, zealously protect young people. He is to celebrate Mass this afternoon in Philadelphia. A million people are expected to attend. France launches airstrikes in Syria today for the first time. Angela Charlton is in Paris.
France had been involved in the U.S.-led coalition against IS in Iraq, but only recently expanded that to involve Syria. That is in part because France fears terrorist threats on its own soil. It was also in the context of the growing Syrian refugee crisis.
France had resisted airstrikes in Syria because it did not want to strengthen the hand of President Bashar Assad. However, French President François Hollande announced a change in strategy earlier this month. There are media reports in Germany that Volkswagen had a years-old warning against the trickery it used to defeat emissions tests on diesel vehicles in this country. The German weekly Bild reports that VW's internal investigation found a 2007 letter from parts supplier Bosch warning against using the trickery. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
What if you could look back over 150 years to find the actual addresses of your ancestors? It's possible to find these family details and so much more. Only at TryAncestry.com now through Sunday, you can have access to over 1 billion records in their city directory collection. It's a limited time radio exclusive that expires this Sunday. Take a step back in time and view records spanning over 160 years that trace family members' births, deaths, addresses from historical maps, church affiliations, and more. It's a national collection that can give you priceless details, stories, and clues to expand your family tree. These city directories haven't been open to the public for free access before, so don't miss this opportunity to have unlimited entry to this collection. Free access ends Sunday and is only at TryAncestry.com. TryAncestry.com. That's T-R-Y Ancestry.com. TryAncestry.com.
One senator is calling on the Federal Trade Commission to update regulations on eyeglass prescriptions to create more competition in the industry, which he says would lead to better deals for consumers. Senator Charles Schumer, the New York Democrat, says the FTC, which is reviewing its regulations on eyeglasses, should require eye care providers to give complete eyeglass prescription information to consumers. Schumer says customers could then use this information to shop around, get the best deal on specs. Schumer is also calling for the FTC to require eye care providers to verify information about a prescription to third-party sellers in a reasonable amount of time. Israel's education ministry says it's reached a settlement to end a nearly month-long strike by the nation's Christian schools. Those schools have been on strike since the school year began September 1st to protest cuts in government funding. Christian leaders have said those cuts amount to, in their mind, discrimination. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. a tribute to the youngest victim of the Boston Marathon bombings.
8-year-old Martin Richard was one of three people killed in the 2013 bombings. As a tribute to the boy, a life-size statue by artist Victoria Guarino was unveiled at Bridgewater State University Saturday. The image of Martin is holding a poster he made that read, "No more hurting people, peace." Martin's sister, Jane, lost a leg in the bombing. The Martin Richard Institute for Social Justice was named last spring at Bridgewater State, where his parents, Bill and Denise Richard, met. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, September 27th, the 270th day of 2015. There are just 95 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1935, Judy Garland signed a 7-year contract with MGM. She was only 13 years old. And on this date in 1954, The Tonight Show, hosted by Steve Allen, made its debut on NBC. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's go right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. If you would like to call in and talk to Steve, that's Steve Baird. He's running for District 1 State Senator, 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. And so, or you can go to the chat room and ask a question there at KCNR1460.com. So, does anybody have a question for Steve?
Well, we do have some questions in the chat room. Would you like to take them, Steve?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, it says to ask you about gay marriage, abortion, Planned Parenthood, and medical marijuana. So you can take those subjects any way you want. Which one first or however you want to do this?
Well, let's first address them as a group. My opinion is opinion of one individual within the district. And there are a million opinions within the district, first district of California Senate. So what my thoughts are is not as important as what the people's thoughts are. And so I think the plurality of individuals inside that first district should make the decisions for that district. How I feel about any particular thing, let's take Planned Parenthood, for instance. I would never do that. I mean, it's an appalling practice.
Yes.
How people can do that. But it really depends on what the individuals within the, you know, the district believe. And if there were a plurality that thought that Planned Parenthood was a good thing, then that's where my vote would go. But I don't believe that that's the way that the first district would go.
Okay. You want to address any of the other ones on there? We had gay marriage, abortion, and medical marijuana.
Let's take medical marijuana. Those things should be actually done probably at the local level. You see it more as a kind of a Jeffersonian type issue where the locals in an area, so say that we had the 20 counties, and they would make up their own minds how they would want to handle something like that. So I could see like in Utah where they have wet counties and dry counties, we would have haze counties and clear counties. But I think local counties should make those types of decisions on a local level for the people in their jurisdictions.
And I think medical marijuana is a prime example of one foot in, one foot out policy, where really California has done this and left the onerous to figure it out upon the counties and provided them no direction, no protection, no anything. They've just basically created this problem and dumped it in the county's laps and said, good luck, boys.
Right. I agree with that.
You know, and that's a lot like, you know, AB 109 is another example of that. And I think that's a prime example of, as Steve said, that is something that needs to be controlled on the local level. And the state that enables that should provide protection if that's the direction they're going to go.
Absolutely. So it's actually the voice of the people that really makes a difference in these cases.
Yeah, it's like the medical marijuana thing, you know. I mean, I'm so tired of that issue because it is a local level. And it comes to a fundamental issue. Do you have a right to control what gets put into your body or taken out? And, you know, regardless of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, should the government be able to do that? And at the federal level, of course not. I mean, that's the big argument here. And you know, they're getting all this federal money from, you know, and our sheriff is, you know, if you look at his post, he's more concerned with, you know, any kind of drug thing than he is any other issue. I mean, just about. So I just think that it should be left up to the people themselves. I mean, I don't think it's good. But neither is alcohol. So what are your thoughts on that? What do you think about, you know, how should that be regulated, if at all?
Well, again, local level and local control on those things is where it's really important. I know that there are a lot of sheriffs and a lot of law enforcement agencies that make a lot of money on confiscations and and making a power grab and stuff like that. And if you do not have the ability to protect yourself, they can come in and say, oh, you look like a drug lord, so we're going to take all your possessions and good luck getting it back without having being convicted of a crime, then we really have a problem.
They would never do that, would they?
Yeah, they did. They did it here in Shasta County with Measure A.
Well, I mean, and then is there a lawsuit going on or potential?
There is a lawsuit that is coming to Shasta County because it is absolutely a Fourth Amendment right violation. We tried to bring that to light about Measure A when Measure A was on the ballot. At you know, the county was just inviting themselves for problems because, again, California has failed to outline this this law to provide any protection to the local municipalities for doing any of this. And basically, there is several points that they're being hit on the lawsuit. Is they're saying, number one, you don't have a right to seize people's property without due process of law. That's in the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
That's the biggie. The other one is it's actually in the California Constitution that if you had a regulation or an ordinance in place prior, which the county did, when you change that, you have to provide a 3-year amortization to allow people to get compliant. They immediately begin enforcing this.
Right.
Not only that, there's also the argument that sheriff's deputies are illegally giving affidavits for search warrants saying that they believe felony activity is occurring on the property when that felony activity is the growing of marijuana under the ordinance that defines the infraction as a misdemeanor or a code violation. So how can you sign a testifying affidavit that it's felonious activity when the law clearly states that you're going after that it's an infraction?
Well, and let me make this perfectly clear. I hate drugs, okay? I from personal experience, everything. I do not condone the use of any drugs, but it's a slippery slope. When they say that they can take your property without due process for having marijuana on your property, what's to say that they don't say next week that we've defined sugar as being a drug, and now we're coming in and we're taking everything you own because you got two bottles of Dr. Pepper over there on the shelf, and we're going to now strip you of all your assets and see if you can try to get them back because we're not going to charge you with anything.
Yeah, that's the problem. They come under other pretenses and start seizing.
So that's a great point. Property. That's a great point, Steve. It really is. I mean, you know, the Constitution was there to put limits on government at all levels so that they couldn't just come in and take your property because there's a direct link between property and freedom. And if you don't understand that direct link and you sever it, it's very easy for the government to take your freedom away from you through your property.
And once you open the door to that precedent, once they establish that precedent that they can do things like that, they apply it to other things. You know, if this kind of thinking and this kind of policy is allowed to stand, eventually it will extend to other things. If you take Measure A and remove the word medical marijuana from it and insert the word firearms, this county would be barking as loud as could possibly be to kill that. And that's what you're opening the door for with precedent,
yep,
is because if you don't defend the least of us from things like this, sooner or later it comes to us all.
They overreach with everything.
Yeah, not to beat a dead horse, but it's true. I mean, you know, we need to worry about those constitutional protections for all of our properties, you know. And again, I don't like drugs at all, don't get me wrong, but it's a catalyst. And the road to hell is always paved with good intentions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the issue.
And, you know, for me as, and myself as I view myself as a true believer in liberty, is I will fight to the death to defend your right to do something I don't approve of.
Yeah, even if I think it's really stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I really think smoking pot is really stupid. I really do. I think that it clouds your thinking, it clouds your brain, and not that I have any experience with this, you do understand. I mean, not that I have ever, you know, I never inhaled.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Bill.
I never inhaled.
Okay, Billy.
Yeah.
I never. That, now, that's funny. I never inhaled.
Yeah. Words of wisdom from Uncle Willie.
How stupid is that? You know, I mean, the real deal is that you can always screw your mind up with something, you know, whether it's too much sugar, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol. I mean, I don't think any of that's smart. You know, but when are we going to start? I mean, they tried the experiment with alcohol back in the late 20s and early 30s, and it was a failure. And, you know, I always say they had to change the Constitution to do that. What's the difference between now and then?
Absolutely none.
Money. Lots and lots of money.
Money, and people have lost touch with those basic premises. Those basic principles of what constitutes staying free from government overreach and tyranny. I don't know. I'm not speaking for Steve here. kind of went off on a rant there. Sorry, I apologize. But you know, the real deal is that we need to have people in government that understand these principles of freedom, so that especially at the local level, we get protected from the federal government. Now, I don't know a lot about, you know, how a state senator operates. I don't really know what their power is and what they can do down there. Maybe you can kind of give us a little bit a clearer picture of what that is.
Sure. So it belongs to, obviously, part of the legislative branch, which would be the lawmaking branch. It would be great to tone down the, I don't know if we call it effectiveness, but running 900 bills through a year seems a little bit excessive. Making more criminals every day should probably be their motto. I'm not sure why that they need so much legislation to push through. It would be more beneficial if we had a limited legislature that was part-time, that only ran. Kind of
like Texas, huh?
Oregon
does it.
You know, six weeks a year would probably be sufficient. I know they think that California is too large and we need more rules and regulations. Well, we'll take a third of that state and won't let them have to worry about it anymore. We'll just call it Jefferson and they can go on their merry way. But as a legislative body, they're kind of pretty much the rulemaking group that goes through. They would actually propose the legislation, then it goes from the Senate to the Assembly, and then eventually to the governor's desk and all the mischief that they make. There are some items that are good, but the volume that comes through with those 120 individuals is just a fantastic amount, and
I'm sure they're reading all the bills, right?
I'm sure they're reading all the bills, and, you know, especially for the more conservative members, you know, pressing no each time is, you know, pretty much the word of the day, so it doesn't take much. They will do things that are kind of like glorify, you know, like the Declaration of Independence. They'll do something around the 4th of July that they'll all grab hand in hand. But I wonder how many of them actually read it, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And everything that we're trying to protect up here in the North State seems to be getting flushed daily with the amount of volume of paper that they're actually passing.
So what makes you think, you know, after we've talked about no representation here, you know, we have none down there, what makes you think that they'll let us go? Why would they even entertain losing control over the North State and all these resources if they have control?
Well, you know, the first thing we talk about resources, water is always the big issue that comes up. And the water is contracted, so that really shouldn't be a concern of the South State. We have contracts in place. They have the rights to the water there. So that shouldn't be the real issue. To me, the domination, the utter domination of the North State, it must do something for them or their egos or something like that, because I can't really see any reason to force people into that type of subjugation. I do believe it's that serious that we're kind of like a colony to the bottom two-thirds of the state. We provide a lot of food with our agriculture, and obviously we manage the headwaters for them so they can have water. And so to lose that type of control probably makes them scared to a degree that we don't know. But I think that individuals in the North State have to grab onto this and let their legislature know, and let the through a media type push, that we're going away. We'd like to move in our own direction. We have a different lifestyle. We're rural up here, and we have a different set of core values. We don't go to the urban mindset. We need to do this separation. And with that separation, I think both parties will be much, much happier. They would get rid of people that they would probably consider a thorn in their side, and we would get to do that reboot where we have that representative model that the Constitution guarantees us in Article 4, Section 4.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing how far we've fallen. I'm thinking about what you said about the food. And, gosh, I don't think we are the breadbasket of the world
anymore.
No.
Yeah, California used to feed the world almost. And now you go down through the San Joaquin Valley and the Central Imperial Valley, and guess what? I mean, a lot of it looks like a moonscape, a desert. I mean, they've let so many things die, and the production has fallen off. And, you know, so, you know, they're going to kill the North State with their current policies and kill California, in my opinion.
Well, that's what I'd like to get in there, and, you know, it may be a futile effort, but I think if we can bring up legislation that first tried to restore a senator per county, so we'd have the 58 senators, and so the majority cannot dominate the minority, is one of those things that we would like to get through. Also, legislation that would kind of curtail the actions of regulators who have the ability to fine and jail you. If they have not been elected by the people, they should not have this abject control of the people. And it would be very interesting to see what my counterparts in the Senate and the Assembly would say on these type of things, that if they truly believe that, yes, these regulators can have that type of control to dominate us, you know, like the issues of CARB and the water resource and the air forces.
We're going to end up in an armed conflict if it keeps going. I mean, you can only suppress the people so hard.
Well, you know, armed insurrection is probably not the wisest course to go. In the 1860s, I think they kind of learned that. So we will do whatever within our power legally to take the direct course to get our freedoms back.
Right. And with that, if you have a question or comment for Steve Baird, you can call in here at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I got to give me a fight. Can't you just let it be?
That Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California. A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes.
Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Cicada Cantina and Logan's Roadhouse presents
Giveaway.
Join us every Sunday at Cicada Cantina and Monday night at Logan's Roadhouse during the entire football season for a chance to win a three-day, two-night stay to Las Vegas or South Lake Tahoe. Every week, someone wins a trip. Come into the restaurants to find out the awesome food and drink specials only available during the game. We welcome large parties. Call and pre-book a reservation. No purchase necessary. Must be present to win. Phone Cicada Cantina at 638-4979 or Logan's Roadhouse at 221-0113.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
For 24 years, we have celebrated, and now it's time for the 25th Red and Andrea Stillwater Powwow, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, hand games, drum contests, as well as the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by the Red and Andrea and Wind River Resort and Casino. The 25th Annual Red and Andrea Stillwater Powwow 2015, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big drop.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
This is Carl on the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Troll Axe Productions, a movie-making studio right here in town. It's made four movies in Reading. We also welcome Liz Peek, national columnist, who's going to talk about what Obama has done to destroy the military. All of this Monday right here at Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
KCNR 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire, where we are born free. I'm glad we're not singing it.
Yeah.
You know, we could sing Born Free. No, never
mind.
Nope.
Yeah. Wrong answer.
Remember House of the Lion? Anyway, This is KCNR 1460.
Someone
shot Elsa? Yeah, someone shot Elsa.
That's the dentist.
Oh, boy. Anyway, if you have a question or a comment and you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. And we're here talking to Steve Barrett, who's running for the first district for state senator. And very interesting conversation we're having so far. And I'll tell you, it's I don't even know who Ted Gaines is. I mean,
I don't think most people up here in our area does.
Does anybody up here even know that Ted Gaines is their senator?
I do.
Oh, Red. Well, Red does. Okay, that's one.
Well, you're the oddball.
I am.
Well, I knew he was there.
We always said he was screwed up, but
every family needs a white sheep.
A white sheep. Or a scapegoat.
Yeah. Did my time as that too.
Anyway,
well, I think we have a caller on the line. We have Ron from Redding. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning.
Do you have
a question about the woods? I think, gosh, maybe back in the 80s they stopped the logging with the spotted owl situation, and the Forest Service is closing down the access to the forest by, you know, locking gates and also in some instances just completely taking out the road so you can't even drive on unless the gate was ever unlocked. And they're returning it back to nature, I guess they call it. But anyhow, so how can we, I guess, reclaim our forest so we can use it for logging, hunting, fishing, camping, and stuff like that? You know, the Forest Service, they control it with an iron fist, so we can't even use it anymore or go out there. So anyhow, if we did become a state of Jefferson, how would we, I guess, override the federal government, the Forest Service, because they don't even hire foresters anymore. They hire cops, is the way I see it.
Well, you have to remember who the contracted, the state's contracted with the federal government to do very explicit things, and managing a state's forest was not one of them. So we can use the 9th and 10th Amendments to gain control of our lands back. I think there's a clear case in Otero County, New Mexico, where the Board of Supervisors went in, told their sheriffs to put out an RFP and make sure that the forests surrounding their city were logged down to the federal minimums. And by doing that, it was basically a health and safety issue. And by doing that, they saved the town and they fired up two lumber mills. So we can take that kind of tact if the state and the counties have the backbone to stand up. The state of Jefferson will have a backbone. It's going to have a titanium backbone, and we're going to be able to protect our residents to use their property in the best way they see fit. And if that's to log the forest down to the appropriate levels for health and safety issues, which the feds do not have any jurisdiction over, so we can take control back. There are pieces of law that allow us to do the things that we should be doing, but we choose as Californians not to do it. As Jeffersonians, we will choose to do it.
Okay.
And another good example of that is Utah recently, who just reclaimed millions of acres of what was considered federal land and took it back under control of the state of Utah, because it's actually Utah's land, as Steve said, being managed under contract with the federal government.
I'm thinking bulldozer is what I'm, you know, bulldozer and a cutting torch. What do you think?
Oh, you're talking about the gates?
Yeah.
So
I'll take the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. We appreciate your call. Have you got any other questions for Steve?
No, right now. I think that was it. I was just concerned about being able to use our land again. So, anyhow,
all right, well, thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks, Ron. Yeah, that's a big issue. I mean, you know, the local control is seen. I mean, everything that we've talked about has kind of hit a little bit on local control. You know, the people in control of their own destiny in their own counties. And how many counties does the district cover, Steve?
It covers portions of 11 counties, from Siskiyou and Modoc in the north all the way down to Alpine in the south. So it cuts a wide swath across the eastern border of California. That it covers 11 for one individual is kind of insane, but that's the current setup that I will say California chooses to abide by. and that was a case back in 1964, Reynolds v. Sims, that there was an opinion, and we know what opinions are worth, and the court cannot make law.
They always say they're rulings, you know, and there's a big, huge difference between a ruling and an opinion. Mm-hmm. A ruling indicates that I'm ruling over you. I'm basically making law. Where an opinion isn't an opinion about the law. So they really are rendering opinions. It's funny how the media tells us that they're rulings.
Yeah, and if you look at it and you look at that case, those states chose to make those decisions and make those changes. But if you look at what the Supreme Court did do, they can do everything under the Constitution. And determining how state elections are run, the court has no jurisdiction over that. So I hope that it actually does get to the Supreme Court again. And we're looking at a couple of justices who would love to revisit Reynolds v. Sims.
And it's not just Jefferson that is bringing forth the question of Reynolds versus Sims. Right now there's a case out of Texas that's going before it that can have drastic ramifications for one man, one vote and Reynolds versus Sims. And that's what we were actually touching on with Ted Gaines signed a Senate resolution out of California supporting the current system that allows illegal people in here in California to be counted for representation and remove that representation from citizens.
You know, they always use the argument rocks and trees shouldn't be able to vote. You know, I mean, that's Willie Brown. Rocks and trees shouldn't be able to vote. And you got to just suck it up up there in the North State. You know, that's what Willie Brown says. And, I mean, how screwed up is that? In other words, it's okay as long as you put a bunch of aliens into the big population centers so that you – this isn't gerrymandering the districts or nothing, is it?
Well, you know, what it is a dilution of vote. I mean, we don't have enough votes as it is up here in our legislature, and now we get to, you know, tack 3 million more people down in the South and then carve out the districts that way. I mean, Los Angeles County alone has 11 senators, and we have one senator in our district for 11 counties. There's something extremely screwed up with that, and I know that going through the Federalist Papers and Anti-Federalist Papers, that the framers had no intention of operating our country like this. So we really need to get back to a reboot and get back to a republic form of government where, again, the minority will not suffer under majority rule.
Well, you know, it's kind of an outdated document. It's sort of a living thing, right? And, you know, there's really no principles involved here. And, you know, you can make executive fiat orders and just do whatever you want, right? I mean, that's freedom, isn't it?
The document is not that thick, and it was written in words. Words can be looked up. Noah Webster wrote a dictionary. It was an American dictionary to make sure they took all the British linguistics out of it. And you can go back to all the papers and all the writings of all the speeches and the arguments for and against putting together the federal constitution. They knew what they were doing back then. They had 700 years of previous English law that they based their work on, and they were able to aggregate that into some wonderful documents that are still alive, meaning alive as being applicable today, but it's not a living document.
Well, I mean, weren't those guys just a bunch of old white men, old slaves?
If you think about the civil, you know, the war between, it was a civil war between the British colonists and the, you know, the British monarchy, those individuals who signed off to that document, you would think that a number of them would perish during that fight. But they managed to live, and they managed to create within a 20-year period basically two countries, one through the Articles of Confederation and then the Constitution itself, that these individuals are able to survive that conflict. You can only look at divine providence that brought those individuals together to survive the conflict and be able to generate these documents that have survived for 239 years. It's absolutely amazing. And those documents apply today. If we could just get back to their original meanings, we'd be golden.
Well, that's the whole point, is that we're not following the original. That's why we're having so much trouble. It all started in 1913, if not before, but that's a pivotal moment when we got the income tax and we got the Federal Reserve System all in the same year. You do believe, I mean, that's just coincidence, right? It was all in the same year, all at the same time.
Thank you, Woody Wilson.
It's taken 100 years for these guys to incrementally grab control away from the people and put it in the hands of the government, exactly what the founding fathers were afraid of. And they put all of these safeguards in the Constitution to limit the government's power over the people, you know. But what they've done is systematically is debase our morality to the point where we need guardians of the people in the guise of, you know, like I said before, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that's what they've done. They've dumbed the people down to not understand these priests, these principles, and so they will vote for anything, it seems like, to bolster more government, because that's what they're at. They got their hands out, they're looking for, you know, ways to government to solve their problem, when it's really the people that have to solve their own problems, because government just makes it worse and worse and worse over time. And that's kind of what the state of Jefferson's about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Trying to do that reboot, government 2.0. And we're looking at California today and the nation as a whole. We say, you ask a room full of kids, are we a democracy? And they all get up and scream, yes. And you said, you know how evil that is, okay? We were supposed to be born a republic where the minority has a voice and we wouldn't be dominated. That's why rocks and trees don't vote, but communities do. And that's right. What we're looking to do to get back in Jefferson. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. It's a specious argument because the founding fathers said that a democracy was a lower form of government. They called it a mobocracy, and they said that there's never been a democracy that's ever survived, because what they set up was a republic where individual rights were more important than the collective. Now, isn't that exactly all the opposite of what we're hearing out of the White House? It's the collective that's mm-hmm. more important. And then you go, well, oh yeah, but isn't it better for the good of everybody? Not necessarily, because if the good of everybody takes away your property, what you're doing is you're putting power in the hands of the government to take everybody's property, the individual and the collective, and that's where the fallacy lies.
Welcome to oligarchy.
Yeah, and if you allow them to attack one group just because you don't approve of that group or you don't like that group, you are opening the door, because eventually they will get to you.
Right, unless they're a threat to the rest of the groups. For example, Sharia law in America. I mean, that's kind of a problem, because, you know, I think Carson said it well.
Well, that one's, for me, a simple argument, is you cannot condone or enable anything that is anathema or non-supportive of the Constitution. And Sharia law absolutely is. But to me, that's a moot point, because it violates the Constitution. Get out of here.
Right, exactly. It's funny how they want to bring their laws and their culture to here. But over there, where their laws and culture prevail, it's a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, it's a third world rat hole, so they want to come here and act like they're living in a third world rat hole.
Basically, yeah, I think that's the case. I don't know, do we need to go to a break, Bob, or do we have a caller on the line? Or?
We do have a caller on the line. Do you want to go to a break first?
Technical.
Okay, we have Billy Bob from Palisadro. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Yes, good morning, guys. Great show, as usual. And welcome our future senator here. Great hearing you earlier on Red's program. Been following the whole conversation, and boy, you're a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and again, we'll rally here in Shasta County and get everybody going for you. Now, my question is at what point can we start to, and this is to you, Red, also, yesterday on another radio program, there was a guy calling from Cave Junction, and he was a great guy, and he was calling himself Northern Jefferson, and I was wondering, when are we going to get involved with getting those 8 or 9, 10 counties in Southern Oregon into the mix? Because that is the original designation, Southern Oregon, Northern California. And then between the two of us, we would have one of the greatest states in the nation. So great going, and we'll support you all the way, Steve. And thank you for everything you've done for the financial preparation for the state of Jefferson. All right.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
I can grab the Northern Jefferson question. You want me to go ahead and do that now, Bob, or grab it on the other side of the break? Because it might take me a minute.
Okay.
So... go ahead to the break.
I guess we're going to go to the break. Again, if you have a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I tell myself that I can't hold out forever. I say there is no reason for my fear.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
The sound of a delicious wine. The sound of community awareness in the fight against breast cancer. Join KCNR and Westside Wine on October 15th for Think Pink Day. Stop by between 5 and 7 p.m. at Westside Wines, located at 1872 Buenaventura Boulevard, where Linda Bott will be our celebrity host, pouring glasses of rosé to benefit our local Think Pink organization. Bottles of rosé will be 30% off, and a percentage of all the sales that night will be donated to Think Pink. Come join us, a great local business, and support this amazing cause. You can help us spread the word about the importance of early detection. Save the date, October 15th. For more information, call Westside Wines at 941-1890.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our community for a great summer season and invite everyone to come enjoy our newly expanded fall beer selection. Take and bake pizzas, daily deli specials under $5, and fresh made breakfast every day. Our family has been part of Shasta County since the 1930s, and we're proud to advertise our local business on local radio. Come shop with your friends and neighbors at Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix, Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Thank you.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Yeah, home of the Free Fire. And anybody who wants to know, that's Roundabout by Yes, just in case you're wondering. Anyway, we're back here in the studio.
We're going to have to put together a Christmas album from the show, The Greatest Hits of Sovereign Minds.
There you go.
A soundtrack.
That's right. It'd be good. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Maybe we could sell it at the next fundraiser.
Hey, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Auction off a CD or a DVD or something. Maybe what we'll do is we'll have a DVD with us in the studio here kind of shaking it, and then the music playing.
That all depends on who's shaking it. They could bid on it for us not to release it.
And we could throw a gun in there. Well, no.
Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, you had a question for Steve or a comment or what's up?
We've got a Jefferson question, but we're going to go to Mary first, I think.
Oh, I see.
All right, Mary. Good morning, Mary. Are you with us?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. You?
This is a message for Steve. Steve, I welcome your excitement, and I'm willing to work for you. I have a lot of energy. So, put the word out when you're ready to get your team walking the streets and stuff. But, Steve, I've heard you speak before. I'm not just blowing wind here. I really like the words that you're saying. I like your persona and the fact that you and your family have jumped into this rat's nest, and you're willing to do something. So thank you very much for jumping in.
Well, me and mine really appreciate your support, and we will definitely take you up on your offer.
Yeah, Mary's a stud.
That's what I
heard. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay,
bye,
guys.
All right, thanks,
real good out there.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mary. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right.
So now we're going to get back to Billy Bob's question about when is Northern Jefferson going to join the movement? Well, the first thing is we cannot separate Southern Oregon from Salem for them. They have to do it themselves. They have to petition their own government, the own state of Oregon. They have to go through their own process. They can't send declarations to Sacramento because they're not part of California, and we can't do it for them. There has been a great deal of talk in many, many of the southern Oregon counties, and that talk continues to accelerate, but we haven't had anybody really step up to get a hold of the process and grab the traction that needs be to start the committees to actually start the process rolling.
But if they did that, they could join us in our state if they did get over.
Absolutely. And we have left an open invitation that if anybody wants to know the process that we've gone through, help us explain it, you know, we'll go and speak to help get them going.
And so, really, if you look at Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, there's actually two routes we can do this to basically become one Jefferson. If California counties go first and we do the process through our legislature and through Congress, and then Oregon comes back later, it would actually be six bodies because two in Jefferson and then the ones in Oregon and then back to the legislature in Congress. So then we could become one. So we could do it as a two-step or we could meet in the middle. So either route is definitely possible.
Can we put like a monument up, you know, right up there like in Wairika that says, you know, the birthplace of the state of Jefferson and Mark Kent?
Jeez.
No.
We could do part of it.
Just part one.
Okay.
But yeah, to answer Billy Bob, they have to go through their own process. That's kind of what's going on, and there is a lot of talk, and we hope it goes somewhere. Ideally, I would love to see a state from about Roseburg to just north of Sacramento, and you know the left hook there.
Yeah, so you think Roseburg, kind of like the line of demarcation? Where
yeah, right about Roseburg would be the northern border and all the way down.
So in other words, it would be kind of like, you know, the enemy would be south of Roseburg.
Yeah, you'd have the whack jobs up north and the whack jobs down south and the normal people in the middle.
We could start the tinfoil hat club.
You know, and culturally and historically and family ties and stuff, I mean, basically from Roseburg to that area, it really does have a history together. You know, the arbitrary line that was drawn through the top of California because of the parallel is kind of silly.
Well, you know, and of course we're kidding about some of the stuff sort of kind of halfway, but
I wasn't.
No, you weren't. I mean, the only question is, will there any be any metal left for the aluminum tin foil hats at the rate that we're going? And
well, if we were to get Jackson, Josephine counties up in there, we would actually have full access to the third largest copper belt in the world.
Well, I mean,
we can wear copper hats.
Yeah. Oh, we could have copper hats or, you know, brass hats.
Yeah. Not to be confused with copperheads. Don't like those people.
Because isn't brass a mix of copper and aluminum or something?
Something like that, huh?
I'm not sure.
Tin?
Maybe it's tin. That's what it is. Brass and tin.
Yeah. Make brass and open up a lead smelter and work.
I would prefer a gold hat or a silver hat.
Hmm. Yeah. We have that too.
We could do that. Little gold hats.
Yeah, we've got chromium, we've got copper, we've got all kinds of minerals under the ground, that a lot of wealth sitting there.
Gold hats and silver bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's an example. I'm a little bit of a rock hound. I kind of enjoy the geology, and I've actually gone through all the geological surveys of what's under Jefferson. And
it's amazing, isn't
it? To find small particulate parts of chromium in stratus matter is considered great. We have sections that are miles long that we have folds of chromium 3 to 4 feet thick. That's unheard of.
Right. Yeah, I know there's some chromium mines up in Siskiyou County for
mm-hmm.
sure.
And you need chromium for anything you want to build, any kind of machine, you need chromium.
Wow. Interesting stuff. I mean, there's a lot of resources in the North State, and I'm not sure what the resources are in Southern California other than the labor pool. But
good dirt.
Good dirt. Well, there is that. Without water, though, it's just kind of like
dried
up dirt.
Yeah.
They're still talking about pulling the dams out. That's a good topic. I mean, they're still talking about pulling the dams out of the rivers up here. I mean, I'm not sure what tinfoil hat-wearing moron extremist guy invented that one or come up with that one. Or was maybe it was those other guys.
Yeah, but they're talking about pulling dams out, but they are wanting to build a dam not too far from here.
Is that, yeah? What dam is that? Feather River, Yuba, what?
No,
the Sites Reservoir.
Yeah, what's up with that?
The Sites Reservoir is all smoke and mirrors. Out of the $7.5 billion water bond, none of which the northern counties voted for, even though it's to affect us, most of the money is going to be directed towards environmental justice and removing fish impediments, translation, dams. I was trying to
figure... What's environmental justice? All trees are equal?
Kind of something like that, yeah. Environmental justice is the Green Mafia lobby that sues and settles to stop any kind of productive use of resources. So we're actually spending our own money to stop ourselves from being able to produce wealth. You know, and with the fish impediment thing, I was actually trying to figure out a way to get a grant because I was going to go in the middle of the river and stand there with a bat and swat at the fish, and then they could pay me not to be an impediment.
Just I can get pictures of that.
But again, so most of that money is being directed to things like that. And by the time you get down to the actual money that's going to be spent on the reservoirs, you're down to about $1.5 billion, 50% of which is to go to administration and setting up boards and councils on how this money's going to be directed. And I was talking to Jim Nielsen back during right before the last election, and I flat asked him, I said, with the money that's left after all of these costs, is there even enough money to break ground on a single reservoir? And he looked me right in the eye and said, no.
Wow, these guys, incredible. So we got a minute to a break here, but and I don't want to ask Steve a question here that's going to take much longer than a minute. Can you expand on what Fred was just talking about, though?
Yeah, getting rid of existing water sources as far as storage for our drought that we're probably been engineered on us, but to have this water and immediately flow it all down to the ocean is not responsible, and it'll definitely really hurt Northern California. And basically Southern California, well, they take the water from us, so it's going to be a huge issue, and we want to keep those things.
But we want it all to go down the storm drains, right?
Hate that commercial. I just cringe every time I hear it.
Well, they're going to be cutting us off because it's the top of the hour here. Again, if you have any questions or comments for Steve Barrett, You can call in at 530-605-4567, and we'll catch you on the other side of the
news break. News Hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Pope Francis has met with survivors of clerical sex abuse and promised to hold accountable those responsible for it. He spoke to U.S. bishops later this morning.
And I commit to a careful oversight to ensure that youth are protected and that all responsible will be held accountable.
The Pope is set to celebrate Mass outdoors in Philadelphia in a couple of hours. 1 million people are expected. France is ratcheting up the fight against ISIS. President Francois Hollande says France has launched airstrikes into Syria today for the first time, destroying an ISIS training base.
It comes amid larger diplomatic efforts at the UN and elsewhere to find a lasting political solution in Syria.
Angela Charlton reporting from Paris. House Speaker John Boehner tells CBS there will be no government shutdown when funds run out this week. The Ohio Republican has been resisting a push by conservatives to pass a budget that defunds Planned Parenthood. That move would draw a presidential veto and possibly cause another partial government shutdown. A man involved in what federal authorities have described as the first Bitcoin securities fraud case has pleaded guilty.
Trendon Shavers of McKinney, Texas, pleaded guilty in New York to a count of securities fraud. He told U.S. Magistrate Judge Sarah Netburn that he made false statements to investors. The government said the false statements he told included promising investors as much as a 1% daily gain if they entrusted him with their bitcoins, digital currency created and exchanged independent of banks or governments.
Jeremy House reporting. It's President Obama's turn at the United Nations podium today. He will give a speech later. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-801-4500. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-801-4500. 800-801-4500. That's 800-801-4500.
The South African military says one of its troops was killed in Sudan's Darfur region this weekend when rebels there ambushed a South African unit that's part of a UN African Union peacekeeping mission. Darfur has been in turmoil since 2003 when ethnic Africans rebelled, accusing the Arab-dominated Sudanese government of discrimination. The United Nations says 300,000 people have died in the conflict and 2.7 million have fled their homes. Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir is wanted by the International Criminal Court. British police have arrested two teenagers on suspicion of arson after a fire damaged one of Europe's largest mosques. London Metropolitan Police say a 14 and a 16-year-old were detained today. The London Fire Brigade said 70 firefighters battled for several hours to put out the blaze at the Baitul Futah Mosque in Morden, that's south of London, yesterday. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A member of the Falklands Parliament is urging Argentina's president to relax her economic stranglehold on the islands.
Dr. Barry Elsby, who's the Falklands political bridge builder, says President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner was recently in Cuba, making a speech condemning the continued U.S. trade embargo and displaying astonishing two-faced hypocrisy. He says she's calling for an end to the economic isolation.
And yet, she continues to try to impose a blockade on the Falkland Islands.
Dr. Elsby is calling for pragmatism once a new president of Argentina is elected. James Beers in Mexico reporting.
Today is Sunday, September the 27th, and some notable people are celebrating birthdays. Actor Wilford Brimley is 81 years old today. Baseball Hall of Famer Mike Schmidt is 66, and Democratic National Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz is 49. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Congratulations to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Yeah, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, and you can say that fast five times and not right. And so
that's true.
Anyway, we're back, and if you wish to call in, you can call in at 530-605-4567, or you can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com and put your 2 cents in. So with that, I wanted to let everybody know that if you're interested in helping Steve Baird, is that how you say it, Baird or Bard?
Baird.
Baird. Steve Baird for Senate in 2016, please send as much as you can in donations to P.O. Box 64, Weimar, W-E-I-M-A-R, California, 95736. Again, that's Baird for Senate 2016, and that's who they make the checks out to?
Correct.
And you also need to include your employer and your occupation with that as a part of the plan.
Yes, some strange rules from the Secretary of State's office. They want to know who's donating.
I wonder if the NSA is involved in that.
We would like a target list.
We have ways of making you talk.
Now, don't discourage people now. We're just launching here.
The IRS will not come to your door.
Yeah. The IRS, hey, there's not a smidgen of corruption there, is there?
Not a smidgen.
Not a smidgen.
A puff. Nothing.
Yeah, not even a never mind.
I knew where that was going.
Yeah, a puff.
This show does recycle itself, doesn't it?
Again, make those checks out to Baird for Senate 2016, P.O. Box 64, Weimar, I'm having trouble saying that, W-E-I-M-A-R, California, 95736, and include your employer and your occupation. So with that, do you have something that we want to talk about as far as finances and so forth?
We've got a little bit of housekeeping. The state of Jefferson is going to be having their second annual trap shoot again at Rolling Hills Casino on October 24th. We had the first annual event last year. It was a great event. Had over 100 shooters. You were
I got a big bruise over that one last year. 500 rounds in a couple hours. But I'll tell you, I've done that for a while, if ever, with a shotgun.
And it was some good competition, a good time. There were several teams that showed up. Some beautiful belt buckles for prizes for the top shooters. A bunch of other prizes, a really good lunch afterwards.
Yeah,
some good speakers.
Awesome.
It was a fun event, and it was a gorgeous day out there. Hope for another repeat, and that's October 24th. And I'm trying to remember the contact info to sign up, and it is escaping me.
Probably go to stateofjefferson.net, right?
Yeah, you can go to soj51.net and find it on there. And if you can, I'm sure you will be able to within a couple of hours. And come out, shoot, have a good time. And there's always some good side action going on. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, the women are talking again how they're going to outshoot everybody.
I heard they had a couple of ringers last year, so they'll probably be back.
They did.
Well, I just also want to tell everybody to go out and get Wayne Allen Root's book, The Power of Relentless, too, and pick that up. We promised that we would help him promote that, and so we want to get that in there. You can get that at, I'm looking at a New Egg, but I'm sure it's at Amazon.com and all the regular places. So anyway, with that, let's see. We got about another 50 minutes or so.
Well, since we're doing announcements, let me get a few in here.
All right.
All right. You know that the last Sunday in September is actually Gold Star Mothers and Family Day. So don't forget that to, show your honor and respect for that. We have Big Bike Weekend coming up, October 8th through the 11th. And Missing in America Project will be out at Veterans Home. And we'll be serving them lunch for the Freedom Remembrance Ride on the 9th. We'll be serving lunch or kind of lunch dinner at 4 p.m. And then we have the stand down at the Shasta County Fairgrounds coming up at the end of the month, October 29th through the 1st of November. And I also wanted to let people know that not this Monday at the Tea Party, but the following Monday, we will be drawing the tickets for the Gator.
Oh,
and we only have a few tickets left. So if you want to up your chances of winning the Gator, you better get your tickets. You can call me at 221-01 or show up at the Tea Party Monday night.
We've had a lot of people waiting for that with anticipation and bated breath.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's a nice piece of equipment.
Absolutely.
Hey, your odds are great.
I've been drooling over it for however long it's been now. It's like I haven't even drove it. I drove it up onto the trailer and back, and I was afraid that if I started driving it, I would have a hard time stopping.
We got a couple laps in at the casino.
Well, there was that, yeah. It was around the parking lot a little bit, but I was thinking more like the Baja 1000 type thing, you know.
Yeah, so tickets are $20 a piece. If you buy $100 worth, you get 6 tickets. There's only 750 tickets, so your odds are pretty good. That one. So
yeah.
It's values about $15,000 on the Gator. So
well,
there you go.
Have you got any more?
Nope, that's about it for now.
On the economic front, stock markets of the 10 largest global economies are crashing. Is that a shock to anybody?
No.
I know. I mean, we're recovering very nicely. You know, there's only, a few thousand.
Well, the thing that I love this week that came out is that the unemployment rate has increased, but that's good because it's in line with a growing economy.
It's kind of like the blended glide path.
Yes.
And the assumption of solvency by
inappropriate
assumption. You bastards invested. You know, I mean,
how dare you inappropriately? Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Just like we were talking with Wayne Allen Root, I mean, the fact is that we are being so snowed, giving such a snow job by the mainstream media and all this stuff. I mean, it's really, if you go to marketwatch.com and you look at the global economy, oh, we're up 115 points. Well, click on that and do a 3-month look and then do the whole world.
Yeah.
And it looks ugly, ugly, ugly. There's going to be no interest rate hike. What there is going to be is QE to infinity and beyond. So if you're not prepared, we're getting down to the wire here.
Well, that's the first, and I'm going to stick by my bet that Brazil's the next one to fold.
Well, they're in trouble right now.
Well, yeah, one of their biggest exports is Caterpillar machinery, and Caterpillar is in deep trouble now. They're laying off thousands of people. Their stock has taken like a 60% hit. That's one of the biggest things for Brazil's and their economy. And they're also the first member of the BRICS that's really being hit along with the Chinese. But when your currency is being backed by the ruble and the yuan, you're kind of in trouble.
It's okay. The Pope will make it better.
That's true.
He's been very popish here lately. And so, yeah, he's going to fix it because he's going
global to... Global warming. Don't forget the global warming in there.
I'm going to absolve you of all... your financial
problems. Well, they can't decide on whether it's global warming or global cooling, so the appropriate term is climate change.
Oh, yeah.
That way it doesn't matter which way it goes.
Yeah. Hey, They're good.
It doesn't matter which way it goes. We've got to geoengineer and spray the world.
The climate is on the blended glide path.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
yeah, it's Brazil's in trouble. We know Boehner. I mean, breaking news this week: Boehner stepping down from Congress. I really think the guy is like a big crybaby at this point. I mean,
he's just drunk.
Well, is that what it is?
Yeah, he's just drunk. He's one of those weepy drunks.
I mean, I can't believe this guy. He's a grown man. I've seen this guy cries more than my 2-year-old.
Yeah, at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, really? Yeah.
Or at the drop of 2 ice cubes in a glass.
Take the gavel away from him. He starts crying. The Pope shows up, he's crying. He gets black belt, he's crying. He smiles when he gets a bribe.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, anyway, that's that. Economic front also. Deutsche Bank looks like it's starting to fall apart. That could be another level of economic stress that people need to pay attention to. It's getting worse.
You mean one of the 2 stable economies in the European Union that's left is tremoring now?
Yeah, there's actually no stable economies left. What there is is a lot of media that tells us there's a stable economy. It's just like here. Does anybody in their freaking right mind believe that we're at 5% unemployment anywhere in California?
We've been in recovery for 8 years.
rehab's about it. Yeah.
Just need another shot of that federal free money, you know? I mean, we'll be just fine.
That's it.
Not a problem here, folks. Yeah. Just move along.
And until that wears off. But we're running out of options with zero interest rates, and, you know, how far can you go? Just like Wayne said, I mean, gee, there's no inflation. You know, pancakes only cost you like $25 now.
Yeah, pancakes.
Pancakes.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
What else we got real quick here?
Andrew's on the phone.
Let's take Andrew. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Hey, I got Sam and you got sore legs, so anyway. Hey, Boehner cries more than Paula Abdul at a poodle funeral. You know, I'm worried about this guy can wreak in the next 5 weeks, because it could be tumultuous, very much like what Bush did in his last 6 months of the term. It could be horrendous.
Well, that's it. I mean, what kind of agreements has him and Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and Obama made? Who knows? I mean,
Pope Frankie.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that the Pope shows up and all of a sudden he just resigns. I think the timing is really interesting.
It is, most certainly. But I heard you going on. I just had to chime on in with the crying.
I appreciate that. Hey, those are a couple of nice fish, Andrew.
Thank you. No horns this morning, though, but I was listening to you. I can stream it with a smartphone while I'm hunting, so it's really cool.
She's the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
You know, right on, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
You know, and the thing to remember, it wasn't just Pope in town. Jinping from the premier of China was in town, too, and maybe Boehner's getting out before he has a Harry Reid episode. Maybe he doesn't want to fall down on his exercise equipment.
Boy,
just saying.
Yeah, I guess no misreporting of the facts on that one, was there?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you know.
You look into Harry Reid. Somebody knocked the crap out of him.
Yeah, Harry Reid, what a guy. I'm looking at this. Bill Gates is partnering with China on a nuclear reactor. So when the premier of China goes to Seattle first instead of Washington and makes a deal on a nuclear reactor with Bill Gates, I'm just starting to wonder.
That's terrifying, a nuclear reactor run by Windows?
I know. And they'll be running around.
It's our secret weapon.
They'll be running around there. Where's the reboot button? Where's the reboot? There's no control alt delete.
Yeah. Gives new meaning to Internet Exploder.
They can join the Japanese in a stellar record of nuclear reaction. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of scary. I don't know what else that we got. Oh, German police covering up rape so as not to legitimize critics of mass migration. That's the way you do it. I know. I just ran a story this last week. Norway just kicked out all of the Muslims, and their crime went down like 80-90% or something.
Yeah.
And so these guys that are coming over, these Middle Eastern refugees that, you know, left all of their wives at home in the, you know, in the country that they're fleeing because they're trying to...
Because everything's so great.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you take your wife and your kids with you to get them out of there instead of leaving them there? Or would you just go to the other country and leave them behind because you're such a great guy?
It's probably hard to get a goat through customs.
Oh, man.
We'll leave that one alone.
He's it's like a CNI dog, okay?
Sorry.
He's a registered CNI goat. And so
it's a companion animal.
Yeah, I'm a therapy pet.
It's a therapy pet. Oh, boy. And they talk about sheeple, you know, I mean.
There you go.
But
at what point does mass migration become invasion?
Well, that's the problem. And our president wouldn't lie to us, would he? And now they're talking about 4,000 guys. I guess we got to go to a break. We probably better cut that off here, you know.
Again, if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
You get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM.
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Everyone wants to be a hero. It's part of our DNA. Join One Safe Place as we honor local heroes, survivors, coaches, law enforcement, tribal leaders, military, and parents. Be a Hero to Your Children is a One Safe Place benefit dinner to help support a community affected by family violence. With special keynote speaker, consultant to the NBA, MLB, NFL, educator, and activist, TED Talks Tony Porter. Be a Hero to Your Children benefit dinner is on Thursday, October 22nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. To purchase your hosted table now, before they're all gone, call One Safe Place at 244-0118, extension 206. Sponsored in part by Region 3 Safe Program and Shasta Regional Medical Center. And remember, not all heroes wear capes.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our community for a great summer season and invite everyone to come enjoy our newly expanded fall beer selection. Bake and bake pizzas, daily deli specials under $5, and fresh-made breakfast every day. Our family has been part of Shasta County since the 1930s, and we're proud to advertise our local business on local radio. Come shop with your friends and neighbors at Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, October 16th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, Strawberry Fields Forever. Wow, nice.
No one I think is in my tree. I mean, it must be high or low. That is, you can't, you know, tune in, but it's all right. That is, I think it's not too
you know, you gotta like the Beatles.
Let me take you down.
You can kind of go through their progressively, you know, they started out young, vibrant, energetic, and they progressed into, yeah, hey George, you got a light? I can't feel my fingers. Strawberry Fields Forever. Mm-hmm. There you have it. We're back.
It's all metaphorical. Ask Charlie Manson.
Yeah, you can't ask him because he's dead. No, he died.
Did Charlie die?
Yeah, Charlie kicked the bucket a couple weeks ago. Oh, no, that was a hoax. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, we're back. We're here in the studio. We've got Steve Bard. He's running.
Bard?
I don't know why I can't say that.
Same family. There are about 20 different spellings of the name.
So you're not related to Mark Baird or Mark Bard?
Only in Liberty.
In Liberty. Related in philosophy. Very good answer. You know, I get the, you know, I get this all the time. People always trying to say that we do this because, you know, we're getting paid.
We've heard that a time or two.
How much are you getting paid?
Yeah, you guys must be getting paid a lot of money.
I'm actually draining my blood to pay for the program as we speak. Because we do this because we are afraid of the consequences of not doing this.
And it's also our job.
There's that too.
I mean, not a paid job, but we don't get paid. To be stewards of our country.
So,
and well, I'm just saying that's what we're supposed to do.
I wasn't sure where you were going there.
But more of a sacred duty.
A sacred honor. Yeah, a sacred duty, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're talking about here with you, Steve. I don't think that you really actually want to be a politician, do you?
No, it was never a design or goal of mine in life. We're looking at the Jefferson movement. What was the next step forward? And we look at the Assembly and the Senate districts today and who would bring this type of legislation forward. We have a couple of friends, but I think we need more friends to be able to push this legislation through. And it's going to take a number of people, both at the very local level, both at the city level, the county level, and at the state level, to push this through. People need to step forward. This wasn't our design when we were born, but we need to make these moves now.
Yeah, and if you look at our current representation and his stance on the state of Jefferson, his one comment on the state of Jefferson was, well, I don't think it'll ever work, but I hope all of those people will support me for insurance commissioner so I can maintain another 4 years in public service and my entitlements while I parasitically feed off of you.
Well, it's funny.
Nice.
Why is
that? Was Ted Gaines.
Okay.
Why
the empty
it's
seat.
Funny. Why is the only profession that exists that I can think of where instead of the cream rising to the top, the scum does?
Well, yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
You know, it's really true. I mean, we've got the exception with the United States from the founders. We had some of the most brilliant men got together and designed a system. But, you know, in the last 100 years, I mean, if we look around at the politicians in general, they are not the most desirable people to be friends with unless you're, you know, trying to get graft or bribe them for your own pet projects and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you taking this on, Steve?
Well, it's kind of a sacred duty at this point to make this type of move. We're going to be selling our home, staying in the district, of course, and basically trying to get the movement over the hump. Right now, I believe we have 10 counties mm-hmm. that we have in pocket. Well, we're looking at another 10 to 12 counties. It's going to take an effort that goes beyond just, you know, signing a petition. Not that signatures aren't great right now, but there is more that we can do, and there are folks that need to look themselves in the mirror and say, what's the next step that I need to take? And for my wife, Diana, and I, this was the next step. We didn't feel that we could do more in what we were doing. We're doing the speaking. We've been working the financials with a number of folks. But this was the next logical step to help Jefferson become a reality.
Yeah, we've got to get people to run that are going to be for freedom and liberty, who are going to want to, you know, aspire to you know, reinstall our Constitution as intended and founded, mm-hmm. you know, for our freedoms and liberty. And the politicians that are out there in the arena right now, I just don't see it.
No, what we need to do is reboot and get back to the core and get that Republican form of government back online.
I'm thinking boot is probably better than reboot. I mean,
yeah.
I think a big boot right up a few of these people's keisters out into the street would be a good start, and that goes from the top down. And, you know, Boehner could be the tip of the spear,
yeah.
so to speak.
And that's you look at this race locally, especially Senate District 1. You have a representative, a senator who should legally, under the will of the people of California, be termed out, but has found a way to get grandfathered in around that demand that you get no more than 12 years in government. And he's running again to be a placeholder for 2 years so that he can attempt to jump to another government-subsidized job. That's Ted Gaines has no interest in the people. He has no interest in the district. He has an interest in taking whatever stance it is that will keep him in government. That is his entire and sole concern.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I tell you, it takes courage. You know, it really does take courage to step out and put yourself on the platform, so to speak, to try to do this, especially if you're not a professional politician. I mean, I've thought about running. There's no way I would run at this point because, you know, I pretty much, you know, probably won't qualify in a lot of ways for different reasons, but, you know, there's also the factor of the effect it has on your family, on your lifestyle, on you know, what you like to do, where you like to go, who you like to be with, and what you like to, you know, associate with the people, you know, in your immediate friendship, you know, your close friends and associates. So that's all going to change now, I would assume.
Yeah, it'll be a different circle. I'm just thankful that my children are going to or recently graduated college, so they won't, there won't be a real big effect at the immediate household. But, you know, my wife and I are making a number of changes that are necessary to make this happen. So, you know, when people say, hey, you know, I sent a buck in or I sent a signature in, really look at yourself and say, how much do you really want Jefferson? How do you want your freedom back that was stolen from you? The last 50 years have been a blueprint of what the next 50 years is going to be like. And we need to make the changes now or else we're going over a cliff that we cannot turn back from.
Well, and it doesn't look good as far as that, you know, if we don't change this around. We have to change this around because there's going to be blood in the streets before this is over if we don't change this around. I mean, that's the real bottom line. I mean, when you look at different revolutions like the French Revolution and our revolution and go back through history, the reason that they revolted wasn't just because that, oh, gee, they decided one day that they were going to have a, you know, go down and hang everybody at the Bastille. It's because the government got so oppressive after a while that they couldn't take care of themselves anymore. Their property values, or, you know, the ability to hold private property became diminished. They couldn't, you know, feed their families. The government came in and took everything that they owned, put them in slavery, servitude, and sent you to wars, all this stuff. You know, this is the history of government. And our government, for the first time in history, you know, started redistributing the power to the people and the individual rights and freedoms and property rights. And you can just see a complete reversal of that happening right now. If we don't change this, this is not going to end well.
No, it won't end well. But there are things that we can do to jumpstart getting in front of what you call the revolution. There are legal means. I mean, the framers of the Constitution knew that we would have to do state splits, and they knew that the states would be overrun. They put the protections in there for us. But it's our politicians that are sitting today that have not taken advantage of them. You know, 10th Amendment, nullification. We can push back. We can push back today. But our leaders in state government refuse to.
So we have to switch the leaders, and that's why you're here.
Well, that's even Jefferson himself, after the Louisiana Purchase, expressed his thought that eventually the West would be a separate but equal republic.
Well, there you have it. So,
because he never believed that he would be able to keep it all together without, because you have to keep the representation to the people. You have to keep it answering to the people, and you do that with smaller government.
Well, and you're seeing a revolution of ideas across the country now. And when I say revolution, I don't necessarily mean a violent armed revolution. What I'm talking about is all of the groups are starting to strive for the same thing in a way. If you look at, you know, the Liberty Movement through Ron Paul, you look at the Tea Party movements, you look at the conservative movements, you know, take your pick. You know, everybody talks about the
Tea
Party.
Occupy,
they got Occupy Peace going on. You know, the whole idea from the beginning was to have the media separate everybody and not go after the roots of the problems, which is the bankers and the government in collusion with each other, you know, the big corporate interests. And so you're starting to see everybody kind of tracking now down the same road in a lot of ways, but not through the mainstream media, because the narrative is keep everybody separate, keep everybody fighting. But people are waking up across the board, in my opinion, because the media has made themselves so transparently irrelevant with their misreporting and their blacking out. And I mean, we could go into story after story after story that wasn't covered, you know, wasn't talked about, was misreported across the board. So I think that the liberty movement is starting to have that revolution in America. And I think you're right. I think the founders left us the tools inside the law that we can convert this back to the form of government that represents the individual rights and property and prosperity that we had before. We just have to start exercising it and getting involved.
Yeah, and there may be a lot of people that have not read up on the Constitution and the rights that are inherent to us. But you see the groundswell of support for people who are not politicians. You look at the numbers on the national level, and there's no way that we would have this basically bankrupted morality we have in our current legislature and in the White House, that the outsiders are now making this huge push in. And I think it's going to be non-politicians to step up, raise their hand, and say, I'm willing to carry the banner for a while until we get this thing fixed.
Well, I mean, you're seeing it on the national stage with the presidential election. I mean, you know, I'm not a big, huge Trump fan, but I'll tell you what, if you have a choice between Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, and Trump, who are you going to vote for?
It's a simple selection.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a
no-brainer because at least you're getting something different. You're not getting a mainstream politician. You get someone who's outside the beltway going, you guys are totally screwed up. You can't do business right. You know, you're all on the take. You're all getting bribed. I mean, and it's not facts. This isn't that's not conjecture. This is facts. You know, these people are so transparently being you know, grafted into whatever, you know, the powers that be want them to be.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
He sure is shaking the trees up there on them, that's for
so
sure.
That happened.
Nothing else.
I read a story this morning about Trump that I kind of found funny. Is I guess he had one of his houses down in Florida, and he had a 50-foot-tall flagpole with the American flag flying from it, and the Homeowners Association came after him.
Said
he couldn't do it. And they fined him $1,000 a day. And I guess it got up to about $120,000. And he cut a deal with the city that, okay, I'm not going to pay your fine, but I'll donate $120,000 to a veterans organization, and I'll keep my 30-foot I'll make it a 30-foot flagpole. And they agreed to that. So then he called a contractor to build a 20-foot hill that he put his 30-foot-tall flagpole on top of.
That's the American way.
There you go. Nice. Nicely done.
I just kind of went, yeah, okay, I like
that's
that.
What,
yeah,
see, but that, yeah. You're talking about a guy who's used to solving problems that get in his way.
Getting it done.
Yeah, getting it done. Having a target and getting it done. Where, you know, we're talking about our current politicians, and it's about who's going to pay me the most to get what they want done.
Well, the press might call me bad names, or they might say something about me.
I might have to, you know, have some integrity, and that sucks, and I think I'll start crying while the Pope's here.
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, we got Billy Bob back on the line. He has a quick comment. Good morning again.
Hey, hate to bother you folks, but anyway, you know, you were getting on and you pushed a button. Again, I don't know why you're on the fence. You made an earlier comment in your show, Mark.
I'm not on the fence with Trump. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no
perfect. You can't be on one side of the fence or the other. You just said it earlier in your program.
That's right. I'm not on the fence with Trump. I'm going to vote for Trump if he gets there in the nomination, no question about it. What I'm saying is there's no perfect candidates, but he's the best candidate out there.
Well, and again, I'm only here to say that he is our only opportunity, as Steve was saying, where you have to have the guts to stand up and fight the status quo, as you always say.
Sure.
We only got one guy that can do that and turn over the apple cart in Washington, D.C., and that's Donald Trump. And I'll let you guys go. Great show.
I agree. I actually agree with you, Billy. I'm not saying anything different. I'm just trying to make the point.
Well, and it's going to take someone as flamboyant and all the other, adjectives that they have for Donald, but he is an American. Mm-hmm. He is going to be our saving grace because he will go to Washington and he will tell all these bureaucrats, you're fired. All right. See ya.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
Billy.
Thanks.
I agree with Billy. I mean, we got a kind of a miscommunication going here that I don't like Trump. That's not the case at all. All I'm trying to do is illustrate the fact of that the mainstream politicians are no longer being recognized as the front runners, because the mainstream media is not working to prop them up anymore. And that's all.
I can agree with that. And I'll say that I'm still on the fence about Trump, because I am. I like what he's doing. I love the fact that he's not afraid to expose these guys for what they really are. I still am not convinced that he's the best choice for our country. You know, Bernie Sanders wants to give me a bunch of free stuff. So,
well, I mean, Bernie Sanders, the avowed socialist, you're on the fence about him?
No, I'm not on the fence about Bernie at all.
It's like, good grief, you know. I mean, I don't see how the only question is which Republican, I guess, is going to run for president and win, because, you know, I can't see Biden, Hillary, or Bernie winning in this round, period. I mean, they're going to be more like a sacrificial lamb if they're not, you know, if they're not careful. The people storm them, storm the steps of the Capitol up there while they're making speeches and put them in the stocks or tar and feather them. I mean,
and one thing that I'll give to Trump is he is undeniably pro-American,
right?
Undeniably.
Yeah, there's no question. And I've been doing some reading about him lately, and you know, he's a lot more American than people have, you know, think. And, you know, he's wrote books with Kiyosaki, and I've read his books on the art of the deal.
Well, again, that was the media before that was involved in that with Trump and past of putting stuff out there that maybe wasn't true.
Well, and that's it.
And can you imagine the collision course of personalities between Trump and Putin?
That would be awesome.
You want to talk about two bull rams butting heads.
I think you give Trump an AR-15 and give Putin an AK, you know, and give him concealment and cover and see who comes out. See who knows the difference.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're winding down. We got 15 more minutes left. You know, we don't want to steal any thunder from Steve here. 3 hours is a long time to stay on and espouse your positions. But you got anything else you need to get out there, Steve?
Well, I think this is important to when we talk about a digital representation. I know I talked about it in the Jefferson State of Mind Hour. But if we have the ability to get people's thoughts, feelings, emotions, and basically what they want done with that first Senate seat. We want to be able to get their thoughts, because I'm just an employee with a million employers, and we need to get the information that they have and give it to me. It's not what I think, it's what they think. And how they want the first district steered is the way to go. And so the legislation that we build through this type of coalition, it's all the people, those million voices being heard through representation. And that's what Jefferson's about. That's what I'm going to bring to the State House in California to push Jefferson forward. We need to separate. We'd like to separate amicably. And this is the way to do it. Representation is what it's all about.
So what you're trying to say is that using technology, you're going to effectively collect the will and the thoughts of the people. So when someone was to call your office on an issue, you wouldn't be arguing with them and then issuing them propaganda, attempting to change their mind and tell them what they should be thinking.
No, because they have their own individual thoughts, and that's what I want to get through. You know, if we have 60% for one section and 40% against, we're going to go with the majority, because that's what the majority of the population of that first Senate district wants.
All right, with that, we'll go to a break, and we'll come back. We've got about 10 minutes left. If you want to call in with a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our community for a great summer season and invite everyone to come enjoy our newly expanded fall beer selection. Take and bake pizzas, daily deli specials under $5, and fresh made breakfast every day. Our family has been part of Shasta County since the 1930s, and we're proud to advertise our local business on local radio. Come shop with your friends and neighbors at Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Peet's coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about, a place of grace.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big drop.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down. Trouble in my dragon.
like that song. Mm-hmm. That's Home by Philip Phillips. Good stuff there. Well, you're listening to Sovereign Minds. We're in the last 5 minutes, you know, and we've been talking to Steve Baird here. And I think I might have said it right even that time.
You have.
Wow. I did. Wow, I might be getting it. You know, I can be taught, you know.
Sorry.
She just chokes on that every time, you know. She's got an inferiority complex with me.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is. It can't help it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's from all those blunt trauma blows when we were children.
It's because the government was not protecting you sufficiently.
That's
at the time.
Right. And there was no Obamacare, and we didn't wear helmets.
Yeah, I got hit in the head a lot.
I'm not sure whether that was good or bad.
It is what it is.
Whoa. Oh, hey. Oh. No, go ahead. Play it, Bob. Play it, Bob. You got it up there.
No.
Yeah, it was good. No, hold on. He got hit a lot. Oh, he's almost there.
Ow, slap the punk. Who's your daddy? Frankie!
Look, he's changing colors.
Come on, squirt some tears, punk. Frankie, I think they're upset.
Very nice. Good job, Bob. Oh, boy. Well, if nothing else, we can have fun anyway, you know, while we're here. Gosh, I mean, we've covered so much territory, and I think that, you know, being a new politician, I think that people are going to have to, you know, give you a little slack to get up to speed on everything, and you're not used to doing speeches in front of people, and you're not polished as some of, I mean, I'm not saying that you're bad, but I'm just saying that it might take a little while to get you a little more polished here, you know, to in depth on different questions and answers and so forth, because, you know, and I think that's a good thing. Because professional politicians kind of turn me off with these, you know, pat answers that don't answer anything, and really are deceptive in the actual content of what they're saying.
Yeah, there might be the awkward boot up period of the campaign, but we'll get through that. I've been speaking a number of different locations, both on Jefferson and specifically on the finances and the financial outlook for the new state. You know, it looks like Idaho, and Idaho's running fine, so I think we can do good there. There'll be more opportunities for me to get to polish, but I really would rather just keep it honest.
I'm sorry, the chat room is kind of getting weird here.
I reacted to it. Okay, so it must be really energetic. I don't have a computer screen in front of me. That's great. But over time, we'll get our message out there and the true meaning of what we're trying to do, and we will deliver. We will deliver the 51st state, and we'll get that legislation through all the way through to the Capitol.
Looking forward to it,
all right.
Too.
Yeah, me too, because we need to definitely change. We got to get rid of the status quo here across the board because, yeah, it's just it's funny. The more that we've dug into the local politics, the state politics, the federal politics, it's unbelievable the dirt that we've come out. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, that can't be so, and you find out it is.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to have a refreshing change of someone who's not a professional politician actually trying to, you know, do the will of the people.
Yeah, and if I can be an obstructionist in the Capitol, you know, maybe we can get a few less bills through and save people a whole bunch of money.
I like that idea.
Yeah, what's that Mark Twain saying, you know, guard your wallet, the legislature's in session?
Yeah.
So if they want to donate to you, where do they send it to?
That would be Baird for Senate, 2016, P.O. Box 64, Weimar, California, 95736, and please include your employer and your occupation.
There you have it.
So it's Weimar, not Weimar. And we have a minute.
And we're winding down.
We have a minute. Everybody got anything anybody's got to say, you better say it now because I'm going to start with the end of the show here in a second. No?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Well,
don't forget to get your Gator tickets.
Your what? Your Gator
tickets.
Yeah, Gator tickets. 221-0101. Call and talk to Linda. And,
and you can see State of Jefferson today down at the home show at the Civic Auditorium until 5, I believe.
Wow.
Go down and sign the petition.
Mm-hmm. Get on board with State of Jefferson. And anything else we got?
Don't forget the Reading Tea Party, Monday night, 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah, who's that? Tim Pappas?
Tim Pappas, Constitution.
Yeah, we forgot about that because we got right into Wayne Allen Root to start with at the beginning. Get Wayne Allen Root's book. Yeah, anyway, Sovereign Mind Radio, we're coming to the end here. Remember, we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the archives, look at prior shows, and listen if you missed most of today. Now, as I said before, it's time. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Dr. Ben Carson is surging. The former neurosurgeon is running neck and neck with Donald Trump in the latest poll of Republican voters. Today, appearing on ABC's This Week, Carson is being asked his opinion about the resignation of House Speaker John Boehner.
There's a lot of unrest and people who really feel that a lot of people have been sent to Congress over the last few elections, but nothing really has changed, and they want to see some results.
And meanwhile, House Speaker May appeared this morning on CBS's Face the Nation. Boehner says he has a lot to get done in the House before he leaves next month.
I expect that we might have a little more cooperation from some around town to try to get as much finished as possible. I don't want to leave my successor a dirty barn. So I want to clean the barn up a little bit before the next person gets there.
Boehner said there will be no government shutdown when funding runs out this week. President Obama.